Friday Night Football. It's time for high school football action on WGRC. Tonight's game is being brought to you by the generous donations of the following Thunder Riders.
Culp's Transmissions, Marks McLaughlin and Dennehy, Melcott Radiator, Millville HPS, Pine Barn Inn, Pondus Farms, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steininger's Laundry, Vreeland's Harley Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders & Sons, Horizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor & Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins.
Now, let's head to the field for this week's game.
It is week 9 of the high school football season here on WGRC. Excited to bring you a big matchup. Danville at Sealands Grove should be a great time, and also some playoff implications with this matchup tonight. We'll be talking about that, sharing, again, all the action for you from Sealands Grove High School with tonight and then 1 week to go in the regular season. I'm Don Castelline. Also want to welcome in Chris Miller and Zach Guggenheim. They'll be joining me at the field. Joe Miller producing tonight's ball game. And again, exciting. We're 2 weeks to go in the regular season. And Chris, here tonight, two teams both eyeing up playoff action for Sealands Grove. Of course, in the Quad A, they right now have that two spot of the four teams that would advance. As for Danville, they're in the AAA standings and looking to try and pick up a big win here tonight to try and advance their seeding. Very, very tight race in the AAA. So it's getting to that point now. Of course, you can look standings all the way through, but getting really, really close to postseason play.
Yeah, you know, this District 4, we talked about a little bit before we came on the air, and you really don't know what you're going to get week to week. I mean, it's a very tightly packed District 4. There's a lot of teams in the mix, you know, between Loyal Sox, Central, Lewisburg, Ware Run, Danville, Mifflinburg. They're all separated basically by about one game right now. So Danville's looking to bounce back after last week. You know, they want a good showing. Sealands Grove's going to be a tough test. And obviously, Sealands Grove, as we talked to Coach Hicks 2 weeks ago, they're just looking to keep the momentum going and keep growing as they go into playoffs. So I think tonight's going to be a battle of wills. Danville's got a few changes, and I think that's going to affect the outcome of the game, so we'll see what happens.
All right, and we'll tell you a little bit about those changes, and Zach, or rather Chris, is referring to some normal starters not going to be starting tonight, so we'll find out about that. But Danville coming in tonight, three straight losses. They're in a very difficult stretch of their schedule. Sealands Grove really kind of riding pretty high right now. Three wins in a row, momentum always big, and Zach, again, looking at these two teams, both coming in tonight, each really in search of that win for sure. Sealands Grove to keep it rolling, and Danville, knowing that Southern awaits them for their final game, really would love to grab a win here tonight.
Yeah, I think for Danville, it's they almost feel the added pressure of trying to win tonight because they have to stop the juggernaut that is Southern Columbia next week. You know, it's funny, we were talking before the game, Chris and I, how Sealands Grove kind of reminds us kind of like the traditional Big Ten team, like a Wisconsin or an Iowa, where they just suffocate you with defense. They play sound. I'm excited to see how this defense, kind of this lunch pail defense, really comes to work and really play against, I think, a dynamic offense, even with some of the players out. You know, we got to see Danville a number of weeks ago, and they are dynamic, and it really starts with KJ Riley. And so how can their defense contain, I think, a real, true dual-threat guy in KJ Riley?
All right, so we'll be finding out how it plays out tonight. It's Danville at Sealands Grove, our game of the week. Some of the other matchups taking place tonight, a pair of unbeatens as Southern Columbia traveling to Montoursville to face the Warriors. Again, two teams, 8-0, and we'll see how that one plays out tonight.
You know, they had 6,000 people at the Wyoming game last week.
That's right, and of course, Southern. You know, I've heard Coach Roth make the comment that this is a once in a career type of group he's getting a chance to coach. As there's five players that are heading Division I, four of them, I believe, in the Big Ten. Yep. So very interesting there. But we'll also be knowing tonight, Shamokin playing at Shikellamy, Central Columbia at Lewisburg, Loyal Sock at Warrior Run. Some of these games could actually be potential playoff previews, so kind of interesting. So a lot of great matchups tonight, but we've got one for you. Should be a dandy here tonight. Danville at Sealands Grove. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will hear from the head football coaches. We'll hear from Brian Raup with Danville first, and we'll do that in just a couple of moments. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week right here on WGRC.
Pulse Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Pulse Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Pulse Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453. On the web at VreelandsHarley.com.
Robert Marks Sr. of Marks, McLaughlin, and Dennehy, attorneys at law in Danville, is pleased to support WGRC's presentation of the District 4 High School Football Game of the Week. Providing guidance for cases such as personal injury, automobile accidents, criminal defense, real estate, wills, and adoptions. Located at 48 West Market Street in Danville, Marks, McLaughlin, and Dennehy, attorneys at law.
570-275-3411. The high school football game of the week on WGRC. High school football action getting set for it. Danville at Sealands Grove. Of course, here at pregame, and we'll be hearing from the coaches tonight. The Danville Ironmen coming in tonight at 4-4. As for Sealands Grove, they are 5-3 on the season. Well, the co-coaching tandem of Brian Raup and Chris Coombe are still leading the way here for Danville. And I chatted with Brian Raup this week talking about the fact that, you know, they have a three-game losing streak, but they're 4-4 on the season. He talks a little bit about the dynamic of how that's played out and how he's really seeing his team progressing.
You know, the first half of the season, we knew if we were going to take advantage of that, that's where we'd have to, you know, pile up some of those wins. Second half is definitely a much harder part of the schedule. You know, we have teams that are over 500 we're facing, just a lot better quality opponents. So, you know, we kind of knew that coming in that we'd have to take care of business in the first half.
As you look at Sealands Grove, going to their place, how do you kind of sum them up? How are you getting ready for them?
Well, they're a very good team. They're very aggressive up front, especially on the defensive side. They bring a lot of linebackers. That's been their mantra there for the 3-5. Over the past 10, 11 years. They're just very aggressive. Offensively, you know, with Shock back there, he can throw the ball very well. He's also a very effective runner. So, you know, they're going to keep you on their toes, you know, in the pass and the run game. So it's going to be a challenge.
Sealands Grove, certainly with that active defense. I know you've got big playmakers. When you think about Ian and Carson Persing and other guys that can spring a big play, KJ as quarterback, what are you hoping to do to be effective against that defense?
So the key is there, you got to give KJ a little time. So with that kind of defense, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, they bring a lot of pressure, so you got to stymie that pressure a little bit so you can have KJ with his eyes up downfield looking for those plays. So we have the players. We just got to give our quarterback time to do it.
Again, this is Danville heading to Sealands Grove to face the Seals. As you, you know, go through, you mentioned about it being a tougher part of the schedule here, and oftentimes it's a good opportunity to grow, and you want to stay positive with that. Is that something you're able to talk about as a team? How are you kind of looking at the mindset of your squad right now?
Absolutely. I mean, we're still very young. We're still very inexperienced. You know, it's been a great season for that, to gain some of that experience. But, you know, our morale has been good. You know, we're trying to take away small victories somewhere. You know, even in the losses, there's been some very good points. Our second half against both teams in the past couple of weeks have been really good. So, you know, we're taking away small victories. It's not the end result that we want, but, you know, there are some positives, and we're getting a lot of players, a lot of good quality experience.
As you evaluate those players, maybe there's one or two names that are kind of popping up, and you're saying, wow, where did that come from? And you just see somebody really emerging. Who would maybe be one or two of those surprises that you're really excited about?
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, it goes without saying, you know, Carson Persing and KJ Riley have been fantastic together. You know, it's been a tough couple weeks with those two, but as far as what we've seen over the course of the season, offensively, those two have really stepped up. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, Brady Hill has done a really nice job at line. And then Mason Rapp, the linebacker, really come in as a freshman, does a really nice job, you know, filling the middle there for us and getting a lot of tackles. So, you know, we're trying to build that experience with these guys, and so far I think it's been panning out for us.
All right, and always a fun environment. Any thoughts as you go to Selins Grove to play at their place?
I think it's going to be a fun game. I mean, this is one that we need for playoffs. So, you know, we really have a lot on the line here. So, you know, we're going to go in with a very positive mindset. And, you know, they're a very tough team. So I think this is going to be a very good game all the way through. So hopefully we can come out on top.
Football coach Brian Rapp of the Danville Ironmen. Thanks, coach. Appreciate it.
All right, you got it, sir.
All right, so there you have it, and listening to Coach Rout there talk, and you know he mentioned about this is a big game for them. Right now, Danville is in a tie with Mifflinburg. Right now, Danville holding the sixth spot of the eight teams that would qualify from AAA. But knowing that next week they play Southern Columbia, you know, he kind of viewed it as if they don't win the game tonight, it's likely they'll have an eight seed. You'd have to play Montoursville in the opener. So, you know, getting a win here tonight, try and get themselves a seven or a six seed and maybe better their seeding, big goal. But he did mention a couple of impact players since the time of that interview. We've learned of some changes, and Chris, that involves not having either Ian Persing or Carson Persing, the junior and freshman brother tandem, big playmakers, both of them. They're not going to be playing tonight.
Yeah, you know, anytime you talk of Danville, we said it early on the beginning of the year, anytime you speak of Danville, you always think of Persings. I mean, there's just one after another that comes forward, and, you know, coach wouldn't really elaborate, just that they're not here tonight. As well or as a couple other changes that are made because of that. We don't really want to speculate as to why, but you know, we've had some information as to it possibly being a long-term thing. So I don't know. I mean, in any football team, and Coach Rapp alluded to it when we were down talking to him pregame, it's next man up. And I think you have to be, especially headed toward playoffs. You know that you're going to be getting into playoffs unless something drastic would change. So you just need to reorientate your thinking, go with the group of guys you have, and just try to rally support, and you move forward.
So as a result of neither of the Persings being in tonight, K.J. Riley, he'll be playing both ways. He'll be in there at corner to start. But Jaden Divin, also Jack Smiley, Ty Stauffer, those guys are going to get more and more opportunities offensively. And, you know, Zach, it's an opportunity to see what those guys are able to do here tonight against Selins Grove's defense.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how, you know, Jagger Dressler is going to move over to the X spot from his running back spot. You know, Joey Harris is probably going to get a few more touches. But they said the game plan is not going to change. And so Stauffer, Smiley, Divin, those guys are going to get opportunities. What are they going to do with them?
But I tell you something that concerns me is K.J. Riley playing both ways now. I mean, we see that with a lot of teams, but we saw what happened to Gary DeGroat up in Mifflinburg. He's a two-way player. He gets hurt. When you're this close to playoffs, you're always wanting to keep your leader out there on the field.
All right, well, we'll see how Danville's adjustments, how that all works out for them tonight. We're here at Selins Grove tonight. It's senior night for the Seals, and the marching band, as always, putting on a nice show for the crowd as they're assembling here tonight in Selins Grove. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from the head football coach of the Selins Grove Seals, Derek Hicks, as we continue with our pregame coverage. It's week 9 of the high school football season here on WGRC. Tonight we've got Danville at Selins Grove for you on WGRC.
Jesus said in John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment. They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and ReCore charge air coolers. Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Selins Grove at 374-2575.
Serving Columbia County and all of central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS, providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35 just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050, a supporter of WGRC.
Well, you are listening to the High School Football Game of the Week right here on WGRC. Don, Chris, and Zach with you at the field here at Sealands Grove. And we've already heard from football coach Brian Rapp of the Danville Ironmen. Now it's time to find out about the Sealands Grove Seals. They come in tonight at 5-3 record. Their last victory, a win against Central Mountain, 38-21. And they are riding a nice three-game winning streak heading into this matchup tonight. So I did talk with Coach Derek Hicks about the state of his team here with this nice run in the second half of the season.
I'm happy with their progress. You know, I think the kids each and every week they're improving, which, you know, in a long season, that's what needs to happen if you want to be successful come week 12. And, you know, you look at our early schedule, and it was brutal, and we struggled with the schedule and with some execution. And, you know, credit to the kids because they've studied the film and they've taken the coaching. And like I said, I think they're getting better each and every week.
Now, as you look at your players, and again, you've got some seniors on this team, but you've got a lot of younger guys that you've been relying on, and they've got those that experience that they've been building on through the season. Are there certain ones, offensively or defensively, or on special teams, that have really you've been excited to see them taking that next big stride that's maybe helping to get your team there playing some great football?
You know, that's kind of the exciting part. Is I think watching film every week, it seems to be a different guy that's jumping out at you. You know, early on it was the seniors, kind of like you would expect, and but by week 2, 3, 4, you started to see some young guys. Teak Hoover is a guy that jumps out, that's had some big games at free safety for us. You know, Brett Ford's done some nice things a couple weeks, and yeah, then we're getting some guys. Brandon Hiles, a kid who go back to the early season, he wasn't a starter, and now he's a guy that seems like every week you're seeing him making a play. So you know, I like the fact that every week it's you know, we're not leaning on one or two guys. We've got a great nucleus of guys, and every week it seems like somebody's stepping up and making plays for us.
Now, when you look at Danville as they come to your place for this Week 9 matchup, they do have some playmakers when you think of both Ian and Carson Persing and KJ as quarterback and other guys on that team as well. When you look at trying to be effective against them, both sides of the ball, how do you kind of approach this one against Danville?
I think defensively we've got to secondary's got to stay home. They've got athletes all over the place. Both the Persings are game breakers. They have the speed to make a play at any given time. And up front, we have to get pressure on KJ, keep him uncomfortable, make him get rid of the ball before he wants to. And, you know, looking at film, that seems to be the recipe for success. Offensively, you know, last year they were big in the middle. This year it's kind of the opposite. They're young. They have some freshmen and sophomores, 150-pound guys, which is a little undersized, then we need to be able to get a push with the line and kind of take advantage of that size mismatch.
Now, as your team approaches the postseason, we've got another one to go next week when you take on right now they're undefeated in terms of Montoursville, so it'll be a good test heading into the postseason. When you look at goals there and eyeing up how things are sitting for those Quad A standings, you know, the guys starting to get mindful of that now here at this point in the season?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said that they're not peeking at the playoff picture, as are we as coaches. And, you know, it's kind of one of those, we've got the one or the two wrapped up. It's just a matter of how it shakes out. But, you know, to me right now, the most important thing is to continue to improve, you know, have a good game against Danville. And then, you know, we finished with a strong Montoursville team. You know, last year that was the game, a 10-7 game. We played them tough, and yeah, I like these last couple tests we have with Danville, Montoursville before we hit that playoff run.
Of course, it'll be senior night as well, this big home game against Danville. I guess it gets you thinking about those seniors, and you know the clock is ticking as far as your time to be coaching them. Just your thought about it being senior night.
It's always tough because, this group of seniors is some of them have been with us for 4 years. They were up as freshmen, some of them. And, you know, it's like you said, the clock's ticking and we've had a great run. And, you know, you're always sad to see that page turn and lose those guys. But right now, you know, senior night, we've got a couple games left with them, and we're gonna enjoy it and have a good time.
All right, head football coach Derek Hicks of the Sealands Grove Seals. We're looking forward to seeing how it plays out tonight. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks for having me.
So an exciting time for senior night for Sealands Grove. Again, there are five wins on the season. We mentioned last week a win over Central Mountain. This season also picking up wins against Lewisburg, Shikellamy, Shamokin, and Loyal Sock as well. And they're looking to try and find win number six tonight. But Danville, of course, has a little something else to say about that. They'll try and break back into the win column here tonight. And for Sealands Grove, you know, the offense, when you look at their numbers, Chris, it's not electrifying in terms of yardage. They average, you know, about 200 yards a game receiving. It's pretty evenly split between receiving and rushing. But when it comes to special teams, it comes to defense, and then making the plays they have to on offense, when they're doing those things, they do win football games for sure.
Yeah, you know, when we were last on the air 2 weeks ago down at Shamokin, I think the thing that really impressed me, being down the field and seeing it, they don't have high numbers on their offense as far as for yardage for the season, but they're very well balanced. Their defense makes spectacular plays. They will get the interceptions. They will get the sacks. Their special teams also very well complements them. So, I mean, they get a healthy balance that I think they're scoring on defense, scoring on special teams. So even though they don't have the numbers maybe exclusively on offense, they have a well-rounded team all the way around.
And, Zach, when we look at Danville, for their key to success, again, they're going to be trying to deal with not having two big playmakers in there with Ian Persing and Carson Persing, but still weapons that they have. But getting K.J. Riley time is going to be huge for their offensive line to hold Sealands Grove back. And then similarly, up front, Danville's got to find a way to put some pressure on Danny Schock and try and force him into some pressure situations.
Yeah, I think it was back in week two or week three, Danville lost Jacob Shingara, and they replaced him. Gabe Benjamin, who has acquitted himself nicely, but you heard in the interview, he's 155 pounds. He's your left guard, and he's 155 pounds, and they noted it. And so are they going to be able to protect up the middle and give K.J. Riley time? Are they going to be able to get to Danny Schock? I think both of those will determine this game.
And part of that, I think, it means you're going to have to switch up your play call, right? So maybe instead of, you know, being back in the gun, they're going to have to look for those short passes, just get the ball out of his hands quick.
Not being predictable, for sure. We'll see how they approach it tonight. It's Danville at Sealands Grove. It is our high school football game of the week. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with more of our pregame show, and we're getting close to kickoff here for week 9, this big matchup between Danville and Sealands Grove. It's our high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons, LLC. A proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
Salt and Light Media Ministries.
Listener supported 91.3 WGRC Lewisburg.
90.9 WJRC Lewistown.
90.7 WCRG Williamsport.
91.9 WZRG Copemont.
Streaming at WGRC.com and the WGRC app.
It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Well, it's great to have you joining us here tonight for Friday Night Football action, and we are just moments away from the kickoff tonight, Danville at Sealands Grove. Again, some of the other games happening tonight, Shamokin at Shikellamy, big matchup between those two teams, each of which are 3-5 on the season. Central playing at Lewisburg tonight. As for Mifflinburg, they're looking to try and bounce back into the win column, trying to get healthy again. They'll play at Central Mountain tonight. Mount Carmel hosting Bloomsburg. And a battle of the unbeatens, of course, as Southern Columbia plays at Montoursville. That's just a sampling of some of the other games happening around the region tonight. But this game has some playoff implications. Danville at 4-4 on the season. Sealands Grove at 5-3. And again, we mentioned earlier, Danville will be giving it a go tonight without Ian Persing and Carson Persing in uniform and as part of the team here tonight. So more on that to come in the days ahead. But here, and that's just happened since I chatted with Coach.
Yeah.
On, I believe it was Thursday, we talked yesterday. So pretty fresh developments there when it comes to Danville. Well, the captains are on the field tonight. Sealands Grove in the home blue with the red trim. And as for Danville, they're in their road whites and orange trim and, well, shaking hands out there. And we're going to have the game underway in just a couple of moments here with this kickoff tonight.
Yeah, kind of interesting. Looks like Danville won the toss and deferred. So they want to see what their defense has against the Sealands Grove offense, which is pretty interesting given all that we have transpiring here. And your point before the coin toss, you know, for Danville, you kind of feel for a lot of the kids on the team. I mean, we had the issues earlier this year with the coaching changes, you know, and then you're having some kids out that are unexpected. It's been a rocky road for Danville. And I think tonight, if they can come in here, get this win against Sealands Grove, I think that's going to help galvanize them going into the playoffs.
Well, Zach Guggenheim, a little bit later tonight, going to be doing some play-by-play up here in the booth. But right now, you're on the field. And, Zach, nice, crisp, cool fall evening. Good conditions for some football, huh?
Yeah, it is. There is no wind whatsoever, which is certainly a change of pace from a couple of days ago, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that baseball game in New York last night, and just routine pop-ups, they were a bit of an issue with the wind. But here tonight, yeah, you're right. The conditions are much more tranquil for sure.
Hey, Zach, it's still cold down there, though, right?
I'm sorry.
Comfortably cool? Comfortably cool out there
tonight. I have 49 degrees on my phone.
All right, so nice fall, a crisp air here tonight in Pennsylvania's heartland. Well, again, we've got high school action for you tonight. The game of the week, it is Danville at Sealands Grove. Danville set to kick off. It'll be KJ Riley set to do the honors. And Sealands Grove, back deep for them, is going to be Hollenbach and Nyland. And both of those guys certainly a threat on special teams.
Looks like Brody Hill's actually going to be kicking off, 52 for Danville.
All right, so there we have Hill indeed, end over end kick, and it's a good one. Drives Hollenbach back to the goal line. He touched it in play, I thought, but they're going to say it is going to be a touchback here for the Seals. Wow. Let's go ahead and introduce you to the Sealands Grove Seals on offense. On the left side of the line, you've got Nicholas Schaefer, also Stephen Miller. Right side of the line for Sealands Grove, Nicholas Young, Vance Metzger, and in the middle is Trey Bainey at center. Wyatt Metzger, he is the senior tight end. Quarterback Danny Schock, sophomore, thrown for 801 yards tonight. Completes just under 50% of his passes, but protects it well. 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the season. In the backfield will be Schoen, Ahman, and Hollenbach. And split out, Nyland and Kantz. And we've got penalty flags here on first down, and Danville likes what they're seeing as this one apparently going against Sealands Grove.
Yeah, you know, just not the way that you want to start. I mean, yeah, it's just it's a silly penalty, but definitely going to back it up. And Danville is just loving that opportunity, pushing them back closer to their end zone. So if you're Sealands Grove, got to be careful here.
So Sealands Grove now on the 15-yard line, first down and 10. It's going to be a pitch, and this is going to be Hollenbach, right side, gets around that corner, 20, and he's out close to the 22-yard line. And Danville on defense, the Danville Ironmen up front for them, Tyler Seamus also, Tyler Artley, and Brady Hill, the outside linebackers. It's going to be Joey Harris, Jaden Diven also. The inside backers, Sidler and Benjamin, with Mason Raup, the freshman at middle linebacker, 93 tackles on the season. The corners, going to be Riley and Smiley, and then Dressler is the safety. Here is second down. It's a pitch as Shock gives it to Hollenbach, left side, and he's got a little room across the 25, close to the 30-yard line, and that's very near a first down, but he might be about a little less than yard shy.
Well, and there's a flag that came down here from the near side official, so I'm wondering if this is going to go against Sealance Grove.
So the first series of the game, we're just underway in this first quarter. Yep. It is scoreless. Sealance Grove with the football first.
Sealance Grove got penalized for a chop block there.
So that'll back up the Seals. And they're going to mark this off from the spot of the foul, and it looks like they're going to start marking it off from the 20-yard line. So this is going to be a difficult scenario for Sealance Grove, as they'll have the ball now on the 10. The 10-yard penalty from the spot of the foul.
This is not the kind of start that Coach Hicks wants to see out of the Sealance Grove Seals team. Two costly penalties here, just shoving him back. And if you're Sealance Grove, you got to get your leaders out there, get the guys rallied, and say, let's just calm down here and let's get regrouped.
So this will be second down and 20 now for the Seals. Back to throw. Shock looks downfield. He's got lots of time. Rolls to his right. He is still looking downfield. He's going to keep it himself, and he's going to end up just picking up a yard or so as the stop made by Mason Raup, the freshman. I mentioned he has 93 tackles coming in tonight. We'll make it 94 as the freshman, a tackle machine, and did a good job of taking down Danny Shock.
Yeah, not very big, but I tell you what, he is able to take down. Nice form tackle. KJ Riley also had a beautiful form tackle on the far side as well. So, you know, credit to this Danville defense. They're holding strong here in this first quarter.
So we have now a third down and 18 coming up for the Seals. They are on their 12-yard line. 5 seconds on the play clock. Shock from the shotgun. Looking deep. Coming near sideline. Looking for Nyland. And it's going to be underthrown. And a penalty flag comes out. I don't think Nyland had a shot at catching it. But Smiley still got a little handsy here on the near sideline. And they call pass interference.
Yeah, Smiley's problem was he was in perfect position, but he did not get his head around to look for the ball. He just kept pushing that receiver, keeping that hand extended. And when you get that hand extended and you don't get your head around, you're going to get called for it every time.
So now that'll be an automatic first down here for Sealance Grove, I do believe. Or let's check on that first.
Pass interference call against Danville.
So again, early start here, scoreless. We have 10:18 on the clock in the first quarter. It's Danville at Sealance Grove here, high school football game of the week this week, and then 1 week to go in the regular season, and we're on to the postseason then following that. So the penalty, they are going to mark it off from the line of scrimmage, and
it's
not quite going to be enough for a first down. It's actually going to be about a third down and looking at about 4 or 5. They're going to place that close to the 20, between the 25 and 26-yard line. They have third down and a little more than 4 to go.
Big defensive stand here for Danville.
Danny Shock coming up under center. He's got one in the backfield, and it's going to be a handoff and met in the backfield, but now bouncing off of that and then getting back to the original line of scrimmage, and Danville able to cover up and comes up with the big stop that they were looking for there on third down.
I tell you what, Brady Hill got in the backfield, and he just laid the lick on the linebacker, but he did not wrap up. Credit to his teammates who were there to swarm the ball carrier and bring him down to hold him here on fourth down.
So Danville comes up with the stop. Again, they deferred on the kickoff, so they come up with that stop that they wanted on defense. Will give themselves some good field position. Returners right about their own 40-yard line. The kick, it's going to bounce at the 42, and it takes a great Sealance Grove roll inside the 35, 30, 25, and then it rolls dead at the 24. We'll take a 30-second break. When we come back, Danville gets the football. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
High school football action on WGRC.
And the Danville Ironmen first down with their first series. It's going to be K.J. Riley keeping it. Goes left side out of bounds at the 25-27-yard line. And here's Danville's starting lineup. Left side of the line, Tyler Seamus, Gabe Benjamin, Joey Rinaldi, the senior center. Right side of the line is Erdley and Hill. Colton Sidler, the senior tight end. He's one of the captains. The junior quarterback, K.J. Riley, throwing for over 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns on the season. In the backfield, Dressler, Harris, also Divin and Smiley are going to get the start as well, with both Ian and Carson Persing not in uniform tonight. Quick pass here on second down. It's caught. Zigzagging across the field and right back down to the original line of scrimmage. And it looked like there was a little yardage to be made there, but then Dressler kind of gave some of that up, I guess, trying to look for a bigger play and ended up being a no gain on there. So third down now coming up for the Ironmen. This could be a third and about eight.
Yeah, he came back across the middle thinking that he was going to get back to this near side, and he was met there by Ryan Almond from Sealand Grove, number 44. Laid a pretty big lick on him, and, you know, sometimes you just got to pick a hole and you just got to go for it.
So it's now 8:50 to go, third down here at Danville's first series, four receivers set. It's going to be Riley from the shotgun. Takes the snap. He's going to keep it himself, now pitches it. And not much there. Sealand Grove wrapping up the ball carrier, which again was a Dressler, and he's going to be, or rather that's a Joey Harris actually brought down near the 25-yard line, so maybe lost a yard there. It's going to be fourth down, and Danville is set to punt. Sealand Grove, their defense, tell you about their starters, they're 3-5. They have Schaefer, Schoen, and Bainey up front. The linebackers, Heil, Kissinger, Ahmed, Showers, Metzger, and then in the secondary, Fort, Nylon, and Hoover, and those guys all did their job on that first series. So fourth and 10, set to punt is Riley, takes the snap, gets the kick off. It's a high kick, driving Sealand Grove back to the 31-yard line. Caught right there, now trying to cut it around, and it's going to be turning the corner, 35 to the 40-yard line, 45, and then wrapped up at midfield and brought down there as Four had the big return, but penalty flags come out late. Danville was looking for flags early with a potential block to the back. They didn't get that, but then flags did come out late.
It was just rain and flags on that far side, so I'm going to be interested to see what the call is, because I wouldn't. It's going to be holding on Sealand Grove. The way they were raining them down, I thought it was more aggressive than that.
You know, you were talking early in the opening how special teams has gotten Sealand Grove points. Even though it's going to get pushed back, already we are seeing the field position battle play out. Danville had a great punt there, and they still get to the 40-yard line.
I want to make a correction there. I just heard over the PA system that was a blindside block by Sealand Grove. That was the penalty.
All right, so marking off that yardage. So instead of getting it around midfield, it's going to be Sealand Grove backed up to their own 37-yard line. Still good field position for the Seals, as they will have it first down and 10, again starting this drive from their 37.
And this is very uncharacteristic of Sealand Grove. I mean, last time we saw them, they were a very disciplined football team. This is three penalties already in this first quarter.
7:46 to play in this first quarter. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week here on WGRC. Shock under center, one receiver each side, one in the backfield. It's going to be a handoff, and this is going to be shown across the 40, 45-yard line. He's on the far sideline and just was able to be pushed out of bounds. It looked like he wasn't going to get knocked out, but it was just enough as Dressler knocked him out right about the 30-yard line. But that is a big gainer. That is going to be a gain here of about 33 yards on that pickup for Nate Schoen.
And Danville's learning early on this first quarter here. At 6 foot, 225 pounds, you're not going to get Schoen up around the shoulder pad. You got to get low because he's just going to stiff arm you.
First down and 10. Shock under center, hands it off. This is going to be Schoen up the middle. He's got room to the 25-yard line and then knocked down right about the 24. That's a gain of 6. Second down and 4 coming up for the Seals.
See how Danville regroups here. Sealand Grove's got the momentum. They're driving.
7:13 here in this first quarter as no score. Sealand Grove with the ball for the second time. They had a three and out on their first series. here. They've got that big 33-yard run for Schoen, and now they're looking at second down and four. Schoen this time in the shotgun. Hands it off. Schoen again. Schoen tries to go right. Sidesteps a couple of tacklers. He gets to the 20-yard line and then goes down right there. But that will be enough for a Sealands Grove first down. It's their second of the ball game.
Danville just continues to miss these tackles. Still staying way too high. Schoen's just able to kind of zigzag his way through those holes and pick up the yardage that he needs.
So Sealands Grove now marching to the Danville 19. The Ironmen looking to come up with a stop here. Again, playing without Ian and Carson Persing tonight. Schoen, hands off, right up the middle. Big carry to the 10-yard line and then wrestled down right about the 9. Ryan Aument, the big junior fullback, 195 pounds, and just straight up the field. And, you know, you can see there the big runs here, both Schoen and Aument. It's not trying to beat Danville on speed to the perimeter. It's power up the middle.
No, it's taking exactly what the defense gives you. And until they stop that run, you just continue to impose your will and make them stop you. You don't put the ball in the air and you risk an interception. Just keep driving.
First down and goal with Sealands Grove on the Danville 9-yard line. First threat here of the night. Schoen under center. I formation. Hands it to the second back. That's going to be Schoen, and this time Danville wraps up Schoen right about the 10. That's going to be a loss of one, and that time we see Danville able to get through, and one of those with some early penetration was the outside linebacker, Divin, who's got the start here tonight in place of Ian Persing.
Yeah, Divin, not very big. We said 5'11", 140, but yet he plays, probably 175. I mean, he's just out there. He knows how to form tackle, and that makes all the difference.
Same formation, one receiver each side. Sealands Grove's working right to left. I formation. Schoen under center, back to throw here on the second down. Hit as he throws, and it's going to be picked off by Danville at the 5-yard line. Colton Sidler able to come away with the opportunistic interception.
There seem to be some miscommunication, Zach. I mean, I don't know. I'm watching Schoen, and I'm not seeing any Sealands Grove receiver in the area. He had the pressure coming from the far side from Danville, but he wasn't looking at it. But he threw the ball, and I'm not quite sure if there was miscommunication by the receiver and the quarterback there or what happened.
I think Divin was able to get a little bit of pressure on him, and I think that affected the throw.
Well, Danville's defense has not been known for coming up with sacks, but they have been known coming up with interceptions this season. That is their 14th of the year. Under center, K.J. Riley, tight formation with one receiver split out, far side to the left. Riley hands it off to the first back through and maybe a yard right into the heart of that Sealands Grove defense, and the pile does not move much. And right in there in the thick of things was Mike Micaiah Showers, the inside linebacker, one of those in on the stop for Sealands Grove.
And if you're Danville, I mean, you don't really have a choice. You've got to run it. I mean, we saw this down at Shamokin. Sealands Grove is relentless pressure up in the inside, and you don't want to put the ball up in the air because they will pick it off. So you just have to keep running and hopefully find your gaps to get the first down.
Well, now Danville's going to spread it out. Four receiver set, two to each side, one in the backfield to the right of K.J. Riley, who's in the shotgun. Takes that snap, quick pass, and a little sidestep move here on the near sideline as Ty Stauffer that time kind of got tripped up just a bit, but he is just shy of the 10-yard line. It's a gain of four. This will be third down and six. And again, field position, Danville would love to move the sticks, obviously to extend the drive, but just to get this further out of their own end, if nothing else, to try and help things when it comes to not letting Sealands Grove get good field position.
Stauffer made a nice cut there, and he was able to kind of break away from the defender, but then the turf monster kind of bit his foot. Otherwise, he probably would have had maybe a good 15 yards there to pick up the first down.
So here comes Danville with a third down and six from the Sealands, or from their own 9-yard line. Spread it out still here with same formation, four receiver set. KJ in the shotgun.
Sealands goes going to bring the pressure.
Takes a high snap. KJ gets it in. Quick throw and is caught at the 13-yard line. And that was a big, big play to the tight end Colton Sidler. Looking to the cap, that was a captain-captain connection there between KJ and Colton, and that moves the chains. Again, Danville just looking to try and get out of their own end, and that's a good start.
Yeah, I tell you what, KJ was very smart there. He just told his receiver, break to the outside. He was able to sit just past the sticks, get the first down, don't worry about picking up bigger yardage. Just take what they give you and just keep moving the sticks.
It's actually at the 18-yard line here. First down and 10. KJ, they're going to stay in this shotgun with four receivers, two to each side. Now one of those in motion. It's going to be a handoff to the player in motion. That was Ty Stauffer. Stauffer tries the left side, and he picks up not much. In fact, they're going to just put him down at the line of scrimmage. It'll be second down and 10.
Hey, Zach. I think Seals Grove's center part of their defense are pretty good on that center line. What do you think?
Anything to get around.
I was going to say, most of Danville's strategy at this point has how do we get outside?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, they again, it's scoreless. We have 3:30 to go. It's senior night here at Seals Grove. Glad to bring you this Week 9 matchup here on WGRC. Still spreading it out. KJ, shotgun. Drops back, looks, fires, finds Sidler on the near sideline. Once again, very similar play
Same
to what
play,
they
yeah.
ran, and he's right about the 30-yard line. That's another first down.
Seals Grove's giving that out route there to Danville, and Danville's taking it. They'll take that 11, 12-yard pickup. Just take what the defense gives you. And I tell you what, Zach, you mentioned this pregame. Credit to this Danville line. They're able to hold up to Seals Grove. Even with these replacements, they're able to hold up and give him just enough time to get the ball on the out routes.
One other thing, this is a little thing, but KJ Riley looked off the coverage.
He did.
That is incredible. I love watching this kid play.
Same formation again. KJ in that shotgun. Two receivers each side. This time the back is to KJ's left, lining up from the near hash. And Seals Grove trying to anticipate the snap count, and instead jumping across the line of scrimmage, Ryan Allman. I don't think he was drawn off. Instead, this is going to be 5 yards here, marched off against Seals Grove, trying to time that snap count.
Yeah, he was so frustrated with himself that he didn't time it, and that's the danger. You try to time the snap count, but four penalties already for Seals Grove. And, you know, for a team like Seals Grove, you got to be careful, because now Danville is at about the 35, and if they keep chugging away and you keep giving those penalties, this could set up an interesting rest of the game here.
Danville started this drive on their own 5 after the big interception when Danny Schock had his arm hit as he was trying to deliver the football. First down and 5. Quick handoff, and the ball carrier actually kind of runs into his own blocking teammate, and now picked up and thrown to the turf as the whistle was blowing. So not a late hit, an aggressive hit by about 3 Seals, but that time hanging onto the football was the ball carrier, Ty Stauffer.
Yeah, Danville fans looking for the late flag on that. I think the thing that you mentioned was they did hit him as the whistle was blowing. What the fans didn't like was they didn't, as they picked him up and carried him, they didn't just stop. They kind of drove him into the ground at the end.
So now a second down and 9 after a loss of 4 on that play. Danville on their 31-yard line, 2:11 to go here in the first quarter. Back to the shotgun here. KJ takes the snap. Back to throw, delivers, defender falls down, and the pass is going to be caught for a first down at the 41-yard line.
Almost that identical play. They're getting that out route or that outside curl route almost every time when they need to pick it up on that third down.
So another passing first down. That's 3 on this drive. Danville with it on their 41-yard line. Again, they started this one on the 5. No score. We're coming up on the closing moments of this first quarter. Good one here tonight. Danville at Seals Grove again here on WGRC. Back to going under center. KJ taking the snap. He's got one receiver split out to the near side. They're lined up on the near hash. Handoff in the backfield and dropped for a loss. It's going to be Jack Smiley, the ball carrier there in Seals Grove. Really getting to the ball carrier right as the ball carrier is getting the handoff. It's no chance, really, to try and do anything with that.
This is at least a third or fourth time. You know, Danville tries to hand off and tries to go to the far side, the left side, and there's just nothing there. They're having much more success when they're getting those short out routes or those short passes to kind of draw the defense to the quarterback and then just dink and dunk it to the outside.
Here comes a second down and 16 inside of 1 minute to go in this first quarter, spreading it out. 4 receivers set. Riley back to throw, and he's going to throw a high one, but brought in right about the 40-yard line, so back close to the original line of scrimmage as Dressler did a nice job going up and getting that one. It thought it was going to sail over his head, but Dressler in there at 6'2", and he extended as much as he could and just able to get that in with some good hands.
He did, and I tell you what, he paid the price for it. He held on to it, but the Sealands Grove defender was right there in his face mask and was able to let him know, hey, I play defense. I'm here to meet you.
So third down now and 11 coming up for Danville from their 40-yard line. Time for one more play, at least here in this quarter. 14 seconds and counting left on the clock. There's 7 on the play clock.
Let's see if they go to Siddler here on the outside again.
K.J. Riley takes the snap from the shotgun. Little screen play. It's caught, eluding one tackler. Now to the 41, to the 42 perhaps, and Joey Harris going to be stopped right there. It'll be fourth down, and the first quarter comes to a close. After the first quarter, it's no score. Danville and Sealands Grove. We'll come back with second quarter action. Zach Guggenheim on the play-by-play when we return on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance Office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500. And at agents.allstate.com.
Get fired up.
The Regional High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
You are back here at the Game of the Week on WGRC. It is the start of the second quarter, and Danville is going to be punting from their own 41-yard line. They'll be punting to Sealands Grove. Guys, that was a fun first quarter, don't you think?
Yeah, for Danville, you couldn't have asked for a better start. You know, you didn't get points, but you're still able to hang and check here with Sealands Grove.
Yeah, and number 6 is on the return. He's at the 45, down to the up to the 40, and he's pushed out of the 45. That was number 6, Brett Four, with a really nice return. And again, special teams playing a factor here.
Yeah, you know, so you get a good return here by Sealands Grove. Set you up a decent field position, about the 43, give or take. If you're Danville, you didn't get the outcome you wanted on offense, but a time for your defense to, again, step up, see if they can bring the pressure again on Shock, make him deliver that football early, try to get another interception or a turnover.
And now Shock is going to come back under center. We're going to see how he handles throwing that interception. We've got two wideouts, one in the backfield. Both wideouts split out either side, and they're just getting ready to set the ball. The whistle is blown, and here we go. Shock under center, one man in motion, and the snap, and he pitches it to his tailback, Hollenbach, and he's got the corner, gets to the 47, breaks a tackle, and gets to the 50-yard line, and there's a flag on the play.
There is, and I tell you what, Sealands Grove laid out his own man. He went to deliver the boom on the defender, and he ended up laying out his own man. He took a pretty nasty shot there. I think it was actually Hollenbach there that laid out his own man.
So these Sealands Grove Seals, they have come to lay the wood tonight, right?
They have, but again, now there's another penalty.
A block in the back.
And again, you know, this is... We're not even into the second quarter, and very uncharacteristic of Sealands Grove. This is their fifth penalty of the night, and we're just not accustomed to seeing this. It's like every time they make a gain to move them down the field, they shoot themselves in the foot and get another penalty, which drives them back.
Would have been a first down, but they are brought back to the 38-yard line. It'll be first and 15 from there, and they have two wideouts, one on one side, one on the other. One tailback in the backfield, and he gets the snap, and he throws deep, and he's got a man, but it's deflected by the safety, Jogger Dressler. Great play by Dressler as he came over and deflected that ball.
Yeah, because I tell you what, Smiley looked like he might have been beaten by maybe two or three steps, and Dressler came over and gave him the coverage help that he needed.
He had number 4. No, it was Christian Kantz, who was out there, but really good play by Dressler.
Yeah, and for Sealands Grove here, you know, it brings up second down and 15. Instead of maybe going for the home run ball, you know, trying to get 20, 30 yards, They just need to look at a nice out route or a nice curl route to get them up closer to the sticks.
I formation. He's under center. Steps back. Pressure comes. And he is down. Number 52, Brady Hill on the stop.
Yeah, I tell you what, Danville just there. Credit also to Gabe Benjamin in on the stop there. Very impressive, this Danville defense here at Selins Grove this week. Even with the changes, they're stepping up. They're playing their positions. They're playing smart. They're banding together. And it's making a difference. I don't know that maybe Selins Grove quite anticipated this. So hopefully they can keep talking and working where they need to.
Shock in the gun. Hollenbach right by him. Gets the snap. Throws out. And it's a beautiful catch, but he's going to be short of the first down.
Great tackle there by number 25 for Danville, Joey Harris. He had him maybe about chest level and was able to slide down, get him around the legs and hold on, because if not, number four for Selins Grove, he would have been gone. I mean, he had some open room there. Kantz would have been gone, but great tackle there by Joey Harris to save it for the defense.
It'll be fourth down and five, and so they will punt. And so they bring out the punter, Wyatt Metzger, who also is their tight end. He's waiting for the snap.
You have Dressler and Smiley back for Danville. Oh, there's,
and there's a flag. And he calls a fair catch. That's Smiley on the fair catch. We'll see what the penalty is.
It was a false start there by Selins Grove. Sixth penalty of the night.
That is. We're going to see if that really comes back to bite them as this game goes.
You know, Coach Hicks, he's a very nice guy. I've met him several times, talked to him at previous games, and I can tell you, this is going to be talked about at halftime. You cannot have penalty after penalty after penalty and expect that it's not going to come around to bite you somewhere. So definitely got to get that cleaned up. If you're Selins Grove, you need a leader out there to say, guys, listen, we got to stop this because we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Danville will take it all day long because it's given them better field position. So something's got to give here. This has shades of previous games that were worked in the last couple seasons, the last couple weeks. And it really does come down to it's one key play that breaks it open and starts to give one of those teams the momentum, and then it's hard for the other team to catch up.
They're going to elect to have them re-kick. So it's 4th and 10, 9:55, and the clock is running here in the second quarter. Metzger back to punt. And he's going to punt it away. And it looks like Dressler's calling for a fair catch. He lets it bounce. He picks it up. And he is down at the 15. And they will be taking over at their own 15. And here comes KJ Riley coming back onto the field.
Yeah, I tell you what, Danville, they're in a little bit precarious position. They've been here before. They really relied on the out routes to keep them moving the chains. I'm pretty sure that Selins Grove somewhere, their coaches up in the box are going to be picking up on that. But Danville just needs to play smart here. Just take what the defense gives you.
Receivers have two receivers on the right side. He's in the gun. Two halfbacks behind him, Harris and Smiley. And Riley gets the snap. He's rolling out. Pressure comes, but he fires Sibler over the middle. What a play. An accurate ball over the middle. And what a catch between two defenders by Sibler.
I tell you what a throw by KJ Riley. He had the heat coming. He had three guys bearing down on him. He stood in there. He did not worry about the hits that were coming. I thought he was going to overthrow his receiver, but he put it perfect where the receiver could reach up. He tucked it inside so the receiver could shield the defender, was able to get his hands up, and wow, what a throw and catch. I just.
They're at the 35-yard line. It was about a 20-yard gain. First down and 10. Man in motion. Three receivers to the right, and there's a flag.
It didn't look like Danville was set there. Nope, there's a timeout by Danville.
All right, we'll take that timeout as well. This is the game of the week on WGRC.
proud sponsor of WGRC is J.R. Judd Violins. J.R. Judd has been specializing in the restoration, repair, and sales of fine-stringed instruments and their bows since 1989. Located at 1964 Lycoming Creek Road in Williamsport, J.R. Judd Violins carries a complete line of instruments and accessories for string players of all ages and proficiencies. From Psalm 150, praise him with the strings and the flute. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. J.R. Judd Violins, on the web at jrjuddviolins.com or by phone at 321-8070.
Catch all the game action. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
We are back here in Seelands Grove as we come out of the timeout. 9:12 left here in the second quarter. Danville on their own 35-yard line after a beautiful throw from KJ Riley to the emerging target, Colton Sidler, who's having a heck of a game so far.
He is. If I'm Coach Raup, I just tell my guys, listen, take what the defense gives you. Let's grind some clock, hopefully get some points. Danville will get the ball coming out in the second half. You couldn't ask for a better going into the end of the first half.
Snap, handoff goes to Harris, and he is stuffed at the 37-yard line.
Able to get maybe 3-4 yards on the carry, so you'll take that. I mean, it brings up second down here, so not bad. Grind that clock, gain some yardage. As long as it's positive yardage and you're able to make the first downs, that's okay.
And they spread it out wide. Four men, and he throws a quick screen over to Dressler, and he's trying to follow his blocks, but nothing doing, and he is going to be stopped for a loss around the 36-yard line.
Yeah, Dressler made the mistake that Smiley made earlier. He tried going back inside and going up that center, and that center line, that center defensive line for Seelands Grove is just too tough. He would have been better off to break it out to the outside, trust his other receiver to bring the block on the outside, maybe pick up an extra 2-3 yards, but then that would bring you third down and probably maybe 4 or 5. It'd be better than losing yardage.
And they are in a 4-wide set with a running back next to KJ on his left. And the snap comes as he's in the gun. He drops back. Pressure starts to come. He rolls, evading pressure. He is going to his left. Is able to evade it again. Evades another tackle, and he's running to the 40, 45, and he's got a first down.
Wow. I tell you what, Seelands Grove had him dead to rights in the backfield, and KJ Riley was just able to shift his body, kind of twist a little bit, contort. Seelands Grove missed tackles up through there, probably had 3 or 4 missed tackles. KJ Riley able to pick up the first down and keep this Danville drive alive. If you're Seelands Grove, so deflating for the defense that you're not able to get the stop there, and you just keep allowing time to come off this clock and give Danville continued momentum.
7:45 left in the second quarter as they are approaching midfield. Riley in the gun. 3 wide outs with a halfback next to him.
And another penalty by Seelands Grove. 7 penalties. Again, getting too excited here. Jumping that gun, trying to come across, time up the snap count. At some point, you just have to play disciplined football. Wait for the football, and then you go. You cannot keep giving penalties here.
Chris, when you're the offense and you see a team jumping off sides, do you get excited to kind of get them to jump?
Well, I tell you what, Danville, you see it. It looks like they're trying the hard count here numerous times, and they don't even have to do that because Seelands Grove's jumping off sides here. So,
Riley in the gun. The snap comes. There were 4 wide outs. He throws, and a low throw, and it's incomplete. He was throwing over to Sidler once more, and it was just a little too low for him to gather.
Yeah, I tell you what, Hoover for Seelands Grove, nice play there. He was there. He wasn't over the top of the back. It looked like maybe it was, but he was just there, timed it up right, and was able to reach around and knock the ball out.
We have Hoover starred. He was one of the impact players that the coaches were talking about before. They come up to the line quickly, and they have 3 wideouts, 2 to the left, 1 to the right. Halfback next to him here in the gun. Riley calls for the ball, and he's going to throw quick over to Dressler. He catches it, and he's dragging 2 defenders to the first down to the 39-yard line. What a play by Dressler.
Well, Dressler, 6'2", 170 pounds. He's able to drag those defenders with him and pick up that crucial yardage again. Danville just keeping the drive alive, keeping the momentum. I think this is shocking the Seelands Grove defense here a little bit. They're used to imposing their will, and right now Danville able to make the good play calls and make the good plays when it matters.
Riley in the gun. Four wideouts, two to each side, and he gets the ball. Harris in there to block, and he gets a good block, and Riley goes. He's up the middle. He gets about 3 yards, but the Seals tackle him around the 35-yard line. It looked like he had an alley, but he was stopped very quickly.
But you know what? Credit to K.J. Riley. The defense was closing in on him. Instead of trying to swing to the outside, he stepped up in the pocket. He saw lane. He figured, hey, if I can gain 1 or 2 yards, it's better than taking a 4-yard loss here in the backfield.
Second down and 6 at the 35-yard line of Selins Grove. They are on the move. They're in the huddle. They break the huddle. And as they come to the line, they have another 4 wide set. Boy, they love to spread you out. Dressler in motion. He's going to throw, gets it to number 2, but it is way off target. The first inaccurate throw I think we've seen from Riley tonight.
Yeah, KJ just, he's calling it right now. He says, my bad, my bad. He just threw it way down around the ankles. The receiver had no chance to pick that up. So, you know, you're at 3rd and 6. You know, they like the out route. They like those kind of screen passes to suck the defense in. So we'll see what they come up with here. If they can pick up this first down, they're getting ever so closer to that end zone.
3rd down and 6. We'll see if the Selins Grove Seals bring pressure. 4 wideouts. Harris in the backfield with Riley. Dressler in motion, and it looks like there is a penalty flag.
Yeah, it looked like it was against number 2 for Danville here. He just kind of jumped a little early. And, you know, I think if we're being honest, it's probably one of the first mistakes that Danville's made all night. So you put it behind you, you move forward, you go back to the playbook, and away you go.
All right, 3rd and 11 now. 4 wideouts, Dressler in motion, and Riley back. Here comes pressure, and they set up a screen. Harris with blockers in front to the 30, and he gets the first down, and he's out of bounds at the 26-yard line. What a play.
I tell you what, smart play by Harris. He says, nah, I'm not going to take that hit. I'm going to get past the sticks, and I'm going to go out of bounds and live to see another day. Smart play there by Harris. Way to stretch this field, and we have a timeout, a much-needed timeout by the Selins Grove defense. Coach Hicks needs to talk to this defense.
And we will take a timeout as well. This is the Game of the Week on WGRC.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
5:55 left here in the second quarter. It is a scoreless game.
Yeah, Danville Coach Raup, he's out here trying to make sure that this offense knows what they're doing. They want to keep this drive alive. Let's see what Coach Hicks has made for adjustments and by way of his defense. Danville is now down close to the 25. They want points here. You got 5:55, like you said, left before half. They want to score.
And Divin is in motion. K.J. Riley with the ball. He goes back and he throws. Dressler's open. He's got it. Touchdown, Jogger Dressler.
Wow.
What a throw and what a play by Dressler.
Yeah, you know, for K.J. Riley, you couldn't have thrown the ball any better. He was able to loft it over the defender, put it in front of a receiver where only the receiver could get it. Receiver's able to shield the defender. Turns into 6 points for Danville. They're going to try to go up here, gain the extra point, go up by 7. What a start for this Danville football team against a very tough Selins Grove team.
And they're going to set up here for the extra point. K.J. Riley, not just their quarterback, but also their kicker. And he's lining up. Number 3 is their holder, and that's Mason Raup. And they fumble the snap. Riley has to just eat it. And he eats it, and it's going to be 6-0 as we go. As we stop play here, we will come back in a moment, but we will take a short break and then be back as Selins Grove gets the ball next.
Robert Marks Sr. of Marks, McLaughlin & Dennehy, attorneys at law in Danville, is pleased to support WGRC's presentation of the District 4 High School Football Game of the Week, providing guidance for cases such as personal injury, automobile accidents, criminal defense, real estate, wills, and adoptions. Located at 48 West Market Street in Danville, Marks, McLaughlin, and Dennehy, attorneys at law, 570-275-3411.
Top matchups from around the region. It's the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC's Football Friday.
Well, we are coming back after a beautiful 20-yard touchdown throw from KJ Riley to Jagger Dressler, who is playing out of position tonight. He is typically their starting running back, but he is their X receiver, and he catches a great pass for the touchdown as we get ready for the kickoff. And we are ready. Their kicker is number 52.
It's Brady Hill,
and he sends it flying in. And it is caught by Kantz, and he takes it to the 10-yard line, and he cuts upfield. But Danville is smothering at the 15-yard line.
I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Danville Ironmen there to just absolutely maul the returner. No blue shirts around except for that returner. So let's see what Selinge Grove does and comes out here. Obviously, they're going to probably try to stretch the ball here. They had good success there in the first quarter with their running backs asserting the will. Danville's starting to pick up on that a little bit, so let's see what they come out with here.
They come out with their with two wideouts and Shock in the gun. They put him in the gun, and I believe Schoen is back there with him, and he gets the ball, and they hand off to Schoen, and he's rumbling. He gets to the 30, 35, 40. What a run. That is... It's actually, he's at the 35, not at the 40, but it's still a 20-yard run by this massive running back.
And Danville forgot what worked well for them. They're going into the end of the first quarter. Tackle low. This man Schoen, he is a tree. And the only way you're going to get him down is to get him down around the trunk. Wrap those legs up. You're not going to get him up around the shoulder pads because he's just going to stiff arm you and send you away from him.
Shock is going under center. One back in the backfield, that is Schoen, and two wideouts. And he hands off again to Schoen, and this time they wrap up at the 36-yard line.
What a difference there. You get him low, it stops his momentum, is not able to get the yardage. We have a Danville Ironman down.
It looks like he's getting a little slow. It looks like that's Tyler Artley.
Yeah, it's 66 for Danville. That would be Reed Schultz.
Reed Schultz.
Reed Schultz is going to come out here. Not sure what the issue is here, but he's holding his head here, so hopefully it's nothing serious.
Second and 8, and the handoff is to Schoen again, and he's got room, 40, 45, and gets all the way to the 50, and again, some missed tackles by Danville, but it is hard to get him when he is at a full head of steam.
Credit to Jagger Dressler there for saving that tackle there, stopping the momentum of Schoen. And Selinge Grove, they know this works for them. It worked in the first quarter. Danville has to decide that they're going to step up, they're going to go low, and they're going to bring the team together and rally around for the tackle.
Selinge Grove is first and 10 on Danville's 49-yard line. Shock in the gun, two wideouts, Schoen right beside him, and again, an inside give, and he's tripped up by number 3, which is Mason Raup, who has been their stud freshman this year.
This is like... You know, with us being GRC, this is a true David and Goliath. You know, Raup is 140 pounds, but he's just out there and he's slaying the Giants. You know, he just gets his arm out there, gets that tackle, showing no fear out there.
A very bunched formation. Wide receivers in. Shock is in the gun. He steps back, has plenty of time, throws deep, and
there
he's
got...
It looked like their receiver, Metzger, the tight end, had a step, but it was underthrown, and there were three Danville defenders right by him.
Danville defender went up for that ball, and Metzger was able just to give him the push at the right time to keep him from getting that ball. So, you know, brings up an interesting third down again for Selinge Grove, 3rd and 8. You know, it's not short yardage here, so I bet you they're probably going to try to go back to the ground game. Danville's got to be looking for that, but you also got to be looking for the deep ball as well. So they're bringing up to the line here again, another bunch set.
Shock in the gun, and Kansas in motion, and they hand it off to him, and he's trying to get to the edge, and will he? Yes, he does, but does he get the first down?
I don't know. That is very close. I don't think he does. I think he's going to be about a yard or two short.
So that was Nyland, not Kance. But still, it looks like it is fourth down. Yeah. Fourth and about two at the 41, or maybe the 40 and a half yard
line. I tell you what, I'm looking at where the sticks are. Yeah, he's probably about two and a half, three yards short. Seals Grove looks like they're going to go for it. I mean, you need to try to jump something here. You have 3 minutes left to go before the half. So big stop here for Danville. Let's see if they can hang tough.
Shock in the gun, and he snaps it quick, and he's going to throw, and he's scrambling, and he's – is he going to get the first down?
No.
I don't think he got it.
No, he did not. Wow, this Danville defense is showing up strong tonight. They are making the stops when it counts.
Now, Chris, question. I would have expected a run the way they've been running the ball. Why do you think they would throw?
Well, I think, Shock, he went out there and he was looking, realized he didn't have the receivers down that he wanted to, took off to the outside. And I don't know who it was, but Danville, one of the Danville defenders, was able to break off of one of the blocks, kind of get one of his arms out to slow him up so that his other corners could come up and help him make that stop. Huge stop here for Danville here in this first half.
All right, KJ Riley leading the offense at the 40-yard line. He's back in the gun, four wideouts, and he's calling for the ball. Wild snap, but he gathers it, and he's going to run past pressure, and he's got an alley to the 47, 48-yard line to the sideline. What another great play by K.J. Riley.
I tell you what, 7-yard pickup there by K.J. Riley. He's just able to kind of pivot and get himself turned around, break to the outside. He sucks all the defenders in, and, 7 yards at a clip, you keep that clock going. Just very good leadership play here by KJ Riley here in this first half. Seals Grove, they're looking for some answers right now.
Again, four wide, two to the left, two to the right, and Harris in the backfield with him. He drops back, pressure coming, gets it off, and it's intercepted.
There's a costly mistake.
Intercepted by Nyland, and he's to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. He's going to take it to the house. Touchdown, Seals.
Wow. What a defensive play, but it. I thought there may have been a flag on the far side, but no. It was close on a block in the back, but the touchdown's going to stand. So Seals Grove coming up with the answers here. Nope. They're going to say he stepped out.
Did he step out? He stepped out at the 12-yard line.
Yeah, they're saying 17, he stepped out.
He's at the 17-yard yard line. We got a little too excited.
Well, I tell you what, it looked like it from here, and I think Seals Grove was just as confused. They thought he was in for the score.
So Shock under center, and he's going to hand off to the fullback, Almond, and he gets about three yards.
Still driving.
And still driving. Wow, I thought he was down.
Well, I think the confusion was his momentum was stopped, so the ball should have been stopped. And should have been spotted right where his momentum was stopped, but they allowed it to keep going. And I think Danville's defense was confused too because they were waiting for that whistle to be blown, and it didn't. They just kind of let it linger.
Can't ever stop before the whistle blows.
That's true.
And it looks like they're going to take a timeout. We are also going to take a timeout. We'll be right back in a few moments. But first, we're gonna take a break. Thank you for joining us for the Game of the Week at WGRC.
Jesus said in John 4:14, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, it will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This encouragement is brought to you by Melcott Radiator, repairing and rebuilding radiators for any size, make, and model, including antique cars, tractors, and heavy equipment. They also service diesel fuel tanks, oil coolers, heater cores, AC condensers, and Recore Charge air coolers. Our thanks to Melcott Radiator on the Old Trail in Seals Grove at 374-2575.
And a score update from Montoursville, where Southern Columbia leads that one 28-0 in the second quarter. Guys, back to you.
Wow, what, Zach? Two powerhouse teams and Southern just asserting their dominance here, 28-0. I would have never saw that. Back here, Sealands Grove trying to get 6 points on the board here before half.
They're on the 10-yard line. They snap and they give to Sean, and he bounces off tacklers, and it looks like he is in, and he is. Touchdown, Nate Schoen. That is his 8th touchdown of the season. What a powerful run by a powerful man.
Yeah, Jagger Dressler just did not wrap him up. He came up smacking his hands. Ah, my mistake, guys. Leads to 6 points for Sealands Grove. For Sealands Grove, this is exactly what you need. You go up, you get this extra point. You're up by a point before half. You still leave 2 minutes on the clock to Danville, but you're going in up at the half if Danville doesn't score any points.
Kyle Rule back to kick for the extra point. We'll see if they can go up by one here. And the snap, the hold, and it is good. And so Sealands Grove, with 2:17 left, takes a one-point lead. We'll keep it here since we were just on a timeout. Any thoughts for Danville for the last 2 minutes, 17 seconds?
Well, I think it really depends on the return. You know, if you get good field position, you get a good return. I think for Danville, what you need to do is, you know, you kind of need to set up a wedge return. You know, get your blocks, follow that all the way up as far as you can get it. You want a good return. And then what seems to be working for Danville, or at least what worked early on, they haven't really come back to it a lot. So we'll see if they flex it here. Working those outside routes, you know, those quick outs or those outside curl routes that are able to pick them up maybe about 10, 11 yards at a clip. I don't remember. It's been a while since we saw Danville in week two, or I saw Danville in week two. So I don't know how good their kicker is. But if they can get down into field goal range, I'm sure Coach Raup would rather try to settle for 3 points than going in with no points.
Well, it's hard to know who their kicker is because we forget that it's do everything man KJ Riley.
That's right. That's right.
So one note, Ed, before, as we wait for the kickoff, you were mentioning Southern Columbia. Southern Columbia, everybody knows of Julian Fleming. He is now the number one player in the country, according to ESPN recruiting.
That's impressive, you know, and when you think about this area, you know, normally, at least for me, I think of, you know, top recruits are coming out of Florida, they're coming out of Texas, you know, big football areas. To have a star player like that in our backyard and come from this area, that says a lot. So something I know that District 4 is proud of, and, you know, congratulations.
Rule's going to kick off, and it's Smiley catching at the 10, and he's going to try to go across the field. He gets to the 15, but he bounces
nice
off a tackler, gets to the 20, and he is down at about the 23-yard line.
I tell you what, great job there by Smiley. He got a good block there by Dragger Dressler, came back, was able to hit the Sealands Grove defender, gave a beautiful stiff arm here at the outside, gets up to about the 22, 23-yard line. So not the greatest return, but certainly better than what it would have been had they have gotten them wrapped up at around the 15 or the 12.
Sealands Grove leads 7-6. There's 2:09 left in the first half. And KJ Riley's talking to his guys as they try to plan out what they're going to do with the last 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
Hey, Zach, if you're Danville, what you don't want to do is you don't want to force this football, because we saw that's what happened last time, and Sealands Grove is there to pick it off. So you got to be smart with your play call. They're stretching them out, but you got to be cautious because you are so close to your end zone. You do not want to give Sealands Grove an extra 6-7 points.
Yeah, absolutely right. KJ Riley in the gun. He gets the snap. 4 wideouts, and he throws, and it's off the hands of Ty Stauffer.
I tell you what, there are 2 Sealands Grove Seals there that were ready, and if they would have just been maybe about a yard to the left, that would have been a pickoff for a touchdown for Sealands Grove.
And we were talking earlier, Sealands Grove, it seemed like, had all the mistakes. Danville was playing clean, and now it just seems like it's completely reversed.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what Danville can do here. You got to grind some clock, though, because you're down close to the 2-minute warning here, and you don't want to give Sealands Grove the ball back with this kind of field position.
And second down now, and they get the ball, drops back, and it's another screen, and it's set up well. Harris, oh, but what a play from his blind side, it looks like it was number five, Schoen, who came in like a runaway train to get Joey Harris down.
Schoen laid lumber, but I think in doing so, he actually propelled Joey Harris forward for an extra yard or two before he could actually bring him down. So, yeah, brings up third and seven here for the Ironmen.
One note, I think we missed a penalty because they had gotten down to about the 22-yard line, but they were backed up to about the 13.
Yeah, I didn't see that either, so apologize for that.
KJ Riley in the gun, one man out wide, and he gets the ball. He rolls out, and he fires, and he's got Divin with the first down. What a catch. And again, KJ Riley, aside from a couple of throws, has been accurate with the football.
He has, you know, and, you know, credit there to number two, Divin, for Danville. Seals Grove trying to really lay some aggressive hits here, but Divin's able to hold on to that football and keep this clock moving here for Danville.
105 and ticking. KJ Riley in the gun. Four wideouts. One tailback to the to his right. Oh, and he fumbles the snap.
Oh, get on it.
And it's covered by Seals Grove. And it is Schoen once more who makes a big time play. This time on defense.
You know, I saw that coming for Danville. They've been having some trouble now over these last three, four plays with the center quarterback exchange. The center is not getting the ball up to hand level for KJ Riley. KJ Riley's having to pick it real low. That time, gets it too low. Seals was there to pop him and able to get the turnover. And if you're Danville, absolutely not what you want to do here, because now Seals Grove is going to come and they're going to make you pay. They're this close to the end zone. They want to go up, and they want to get another score here because Danville gets the ball coming out in the second half.
And Schoen coming out under center with one or two out wide, one to the left, one to the right. Nyland in motion comes to the right, and there's movement up on that line.
Yeah, we'll see if he was drawn off. Looks like he was. False start here on Seals Grove. You know, I'm just keeping the penalty tracker going, and that's like number eight for Seals Grove. They're able to get the 7 points from their last score, which helps them to overcome these penalties. But again, it's mistake, mistake, mistake. So, you know, you're getting fortunate now. Okay, they're getting the play clock here started. It was not running.
And Schoen under center, and he's going to drop back to throw. He's got time. He's running out of time.
Uh-oh.
But he escapes, and he's going to run. And he is tackled down.
Tackle.
Great play, and it is. It is. I'm trying to see who the number is.
I thought it was 23. I thought it was Jagger Dressler.
Was it Dressler?
No, it was Joey Harris.
Joey Harris.
Joey Harris almost ripped his arm off. I mean, he... Schoen came across there, and Joey Harris grabbed the only thing he could, and it was his arm. And I tell you what, he was down in about 2 seconds. I don't know if Harris is a wrestler, but it looked like a pretty good takedown from here.
I tell you, if Harris does not tackle him, he keeps running.
It's clear to the far side. I mean, there's nobody out there. So Harris was the only one that saved that. Looks like Hicks is arguing or questioning here for the official. Not sure what they're debating, but Hicks wants an explanation.
There's 44 seconds here left in the half. Seals Grove is up 7-6. And it looks like there's a, along with the debate, it looks like there might be a timeout on the field. But they're coming back and coming ready to play. And so if you're Seals Grove, Chris, what might be a play call that you dial up here on the 26-yard line of Danville?
If I'm Seals Grove, the play call that I'm dialing here is I'm telling the line, you're getting a good push, and you open the hole for Schoen, and you just let him keep pounding it. Either give it to Schoen or Ament. I mean, they're gaining you yardage. Don't get away from your bread and butter.
And Schoen in the gun, and he drops back. Pressure coming, but he evades it, and he's going to run. Gets to 25, but
there's
he's tackled down.
Tackle. Divin is like the Superman for Danville's defense here, coming in, and you know where he tackled him? Down at the feet. He says, listen, I'm 140 pounds. I'm not going to stand toe-to-toe with you, but I'm going to even up the score, and I'm going to go low.
Shock in the gun. 28 seconds left. He's going to fire, and he's got his man, but he's on his knees as he catches it.
And the key is he stayed in bounds, so the clock is going to keep running here. And it is. You got 17 seconds. This is running down quick. Sealensgrove is not getting on the clock, and I don't know why. They thought maybe that the clock was going to stop, but it's not. It's continuing to run, and they're not moving.
It looks like they are taking a timeout.
Wow.
And 5.5 seconds left. I think that was Kantz on the catch earlier. But, yes, 5.5 seconds left in the half. We'll take a quick timeout as well. This is the Game of the Week on WGRC.
Serving Columbia County and all of central Pennsylvania is Millville HPS, providing solar power solutions for both business and residential, including the design and installation of solar PV systems for generating electricity. They also offer solar hot water systems to heat water for showers, pools, or to supplement home heating. On the web at MillvilleHPS.com. Their telephone number is 570-336-2617. Proudly supporting programming on WGRC.
Alexa.
Hey, Google.
Play WGRC. Listener supported.
WGRC Lewisburg.
WJRC Lewistown.
WCRG Williamsport.
WZRG Culpmont.
And WGRC.com.
Football Friday. Regional high school football action on WGRC.
So we think we figured out what Sealensgrove was doing. They let an incredible amount of time run off the clock, but they send their kicker out. Now Danville is going to do the traditional. They're going to take a timeout to try to free Sealensgrove's kicker here. But, you know, Sealensgrove wants to get three extra points here and hold Danville, you know, going in at half here down by only two. Even if Sealensgrove gets this field goal, I think if you're Danville and you're Coach Brian Raup, you are super happy the way that your team has played in the first half to only be down 2 points if they get the field goal here. To only be down to 2 points to this tough Sealensgrove team, that's a win, and that's something to build on considering you come out in the second half.
I completely agree. I think Danville has acquitted itself quite well, especially without their players, Carson and Ian Persing. The last time I got to see them play, Carson had, I think, 7 catches, 180 yards, 4 touchdowns, and so that's the type of firepower they are without.
But you know what? They're stepping up and they're filling the gaps, and that's exactly what you need to do as a football team. You can't focus on who's not here. You focus on who is here and what you can do.
Kyle Rule is going to try a 34-yard field goal. Hold is down.
Oh, what a block! What a block by Danville! Got it. Wow, what a block by Danville. I don't know who that was. If that was Dressler, I think it was Dressler. He was up, and he stuck both paws up in the air. Wow, what a stop by Danville. What a huge momentum killer here for Danville.
Great play. Don Castellan's going to get some words with Brian Raup. Go ahead, Don.
All right, down on the field here, Coach Brian Raup with Danville. A lot of pluses happened in that half of football. The two tough turnovers, but looks like your guys are pretty excited going into the half.
Absolutely, right. A lot of good things happened. There's a lot of things open in the pass game. They're doing a nice job against the run. We just got to find the open receivers a little bit better.
As far as a key to change here in the second half in order to get over the hump there?
We got to do a better job on Sean. He's running the ball really, really well. Traps up the middle are open, so we got to do a better job interior. Once we take care of that, throw a little bit, I think we'll be in better shape.
Thanks, Coach. Have a great second half. It's Coach Brian Raup of the Danville Ironmen.
Thanks, Don. We are going to take a break, and then we will get to our halftime interview, and we'll take a bit more time, and then we'll come back with the second half.
WGRC is grateful for the support of the Pine Barn Inn of Danville. Located at the base of Geisinger Medical Center campus, the inn's guest rooms feature Wi-Fi and individual climate control. Serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, the Pine Barn Inn also hosts meetings, banquets, and events. Their wedding packages include planning assistance as well as lodging for the bride and groom. On the web at pinebarninn.com, their phone number is 570- 275-2071.
Pondy's Farms is helping to sponsor this high school football game of the week, located at 270 White Church Road near Elysburg, featuring a farm market with seasonal produce, canned foods, frozen foods, and baked goods, along with an on-site restaurant, banquet facility, outdoor event space, and catering service. Open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 7, and Sunday from 8 to 7. Pondy's Farms of Elysburg, on the web at pondysfarms.com.
Back here at Seelums Grove, just recapping the first half real quick. Danville able to get the score here at 5:49 in the second. They go up 6-0. Seelums Grove comes back. They answer on the interception, the turnover, get the 7 points there that they need. Seelums Grove gets the ball back. They go for the field goal with about 5 seconds left to go. Danville stepping up with the big block there, negating any future score here by Seelums Grove before halftime. The big story of the first half, Seelums Grove, 8 penalties that really hurt them, cost them a lot of yardage. Danville, they were able to build on momentum with their defense and offense. Offense working the passing routes here that are gaining them the yardage that they need. Big first half here. Both coaches are going to be in talking to their players. And his second half should be really exciting. His first half was really exciting. And we heard from Coach Rop there. Just very pleased with how everything was going.
There's been a lot of explosive plays, a lot of different things. It's very – are you surprised that the score is only 7-6?
I am. We'll see how it shakes out in the second half here. Let's look to hear our halftime presentation.
And we're going to send it back for the halftime interview.
It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC, the halftime interview.
Tonight on WGRC's high school football game of the week halftime feature, it's Rob Oshinsky joining us, and he is the founder and president of Victory Sports. Rob, thanks for taking some time out to join us tonight.
Sounds great to be here.
A name like Victory Sports, obviously sports close to your heart. And I understand you've got some great ties right here in central Pennsylvania. Tell me about your introduction to sports. How early was that and what really triggered a love for sports?
That really comes with my dad. He was a standout basketball player at Shamokin quite a long time ago. He graduated in 1948, but he had a standout career there, which led him to Penn State. But he loves sports, and my brother loves sports. So at a very young age, 2-3 years old, they were showing me how to hit a baseball, throw a baseball, shoot a basketball. We'd punching dummies, and we kind of box. So there was a lot of athletics going on around the household all the time.
When it came to competing and getting to that place where it wasn't just you and your brother and friends playing, but actually getting into competition, what were some of the areas that you really enjoyed and had your most experience in?
Baseball was definitely my big passion. I mean, our family on my father's side, big basketball, baseball family, not a whole lot with football. And obviously growing up in the coal region, football and wrestling are kind of king. But I was pretty good at Little League baseball pretty early on. I was a big kid. And what happened over time was I kept growing, and some of the social pressures to play football started working their way in. And my dad took me to a Penn State football game when I was in seventh grade. For those who are Penn State fans, it's kind of a famous Penn State Nebraska game where Todd Blackledge pulled it out in the waning seconds. And that day I decided that college football was going to be the direction I wanted for my sports career. So I stopped playing basketball about a year later. I continued to play baseball with one of the best coaches I've ever had, Chuck Sosnowski at Shamokin, throughout high school. But football really became the focus.
What did sports instill in you?
I think one thing I learned, and I could tell you when it was actually in a championship game when I was in eighth grade. I learned how to endure. I got injured during that game, and the team needed me, and I didn't want to come out. So, I played through the pain, and it was a turning point for me. It was the first time in my life where I realized you can do this. The team side of it what I always tell my athletes is, when I look back at my sports career, I've shot game-winning shots, I've had game-saving tackles, I've pitched shutouts. The best moments in sports have been team victories by far. And growing up in Shamokin, you know, the times we beat Mount Carmel, that was as good as it's ever gotten, really. I mean, they were just exciting, great times, and it was because of enduring with a group of friends and accomplishing something together. There's just something really special about mm-hmm. that.
Obviously, one of the things we can do to try and help stave off injury, you can't always safeguard yourself from everything, but being fit, being conditioned, training your body well to be able to weather through and hopefully avoid some injury. What did you learn on that side of things?
That really goes back to my dad and my brother fostering that to a degree in the house, but I was really fortunate to come across some guys. There's a guy named Nelson Allman and Phil Zaylor. They were gym owners in Shamokin. And then I got to be real close with a guy named Rex Crowell, who owned Mount Carmel Fitness for years. Those guys, through the relationships that they fostered and the facilities that they had, that was really a big foundation for me. And I'm thankful eternally for those guys. But then when I got to college, when I got to Bucknell, we had a strength coach there named Jeff Connors, who's now a pretty iconic strength coach in the NCAA. He really knew what he was doing. And it made me realize that there was more of a science to what we do.
So tell me about Victory Sports. How did that come about? What are you guys doing?
The foundation really started after I was an assistant strength coach with Penn State back in 1997 and in 98. I went to work for Joyner Sports Medicine, and while I was there, they allowed me to train athletes. So there were Penn State players that, as they were trying to move on to the NFL, started working with me. So my experience in combine training began all the way back basically in 1999. And most of the years since then, I've had one or two guys preparing for professional football. But we started Victory at its current location in State College in October of 2003. So we're about to have our 16th anniversary coming up.
So as you walk with athletes and any individuals who are really kind of in that journey of fitness and maybe those that are looking to really strive towards excellence in their sports, you've got these great connections in Central Pennsylvania. You're based here. You mentioned being from Shamokin. Who are some of those individuals that you've really been impressed and seen, wow, these are individuals that are taking it that next level, really taking it seriously?
Probably a lot of listeners who are familiar with Blake Zaylor. Blake is really a phenomenal story. He was a kid that was from Shamokin who was committed to Rutgers as a walk-on and through a second-place finish in a 100-yard dash, is now at Penn State and doing phenomenally well. But Blake has been working with us for about a year and a half. Super committed kid. Jake Klinger, originally from Central Columbia, who played at Bloomsburg and was an All-American there. He did his pro prep with us last year and became a young guy that we're real close to. We have athletes from Shenandoah, Shamokin, Line Mountain, Lewisburg, Danville, Bloomsburg, Williamsport, really all throughout the region that train with us.
And you've had opportunity to work with teams as well.
We have. We've worked with Lewisburg. We've worked with Shamokin. We've worked with Juniata High School. We've worked with a bunch of local schools.
Now, you mentioned about having individuals there that are training for that top level, you know, maybe what they're striving for. I imagine there's a variety of different levels of individuals you're kind of working with. But what process do you take them through? What's the primary goal that you have, your mission there with working with individuals?
Well, our primary goal is to meet the goals of the athlete. And what I always tell kids is, when they come in the first time, we ask them to fill out a goal sheet. And I say, listen, please don't put down the goals that you think I may want you to achieve. I want you to put down what's in your heart. And then it's ultimately up to us to help them move along that path to get there.
Maybe someone's listening to this right now and thinking, I have no aspirations to be playing at any kind of level collegiately or professionally or anything like that. But then also, there is that responsibility we have to take good care of ourselves. That could look different for different people. Maybe someone who's hearing this conversation in fitness, they know they've been kind of burying it on the priority level. What value does it have, or where should someone get started?
I think in the life of a Christian, we oftentimes, whether Christian or not, we talk about emotions versus logic. And I think if we're being logical, we know that in churches we are often talking about stewardship, but we're often talking about it within a financial context. And I would argue vehemently that the Lord has given us this body, He's given us this temple, and we have a responsibility to take care of it. And if we're consciously continuously eating and drinking the wrong things and not exercising, there's really not a logical defense to that. So I don't think you have to be an exercise nut, but I think to do to walk, to do some stretching, to do some core work, to make some better food choices is really a godly thing. And we actually do a talk called Stewards of the Temple. So there, from time to time, churches will bring us in, and we do a talk that relates to, it basically ties in the concepts I just talked about.
Maybe someone wants to contact you for themselves individually, or maybe it's because of a group that they want to bring that kind of message to. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, there's a couple ways. First of all, I'm on Facebook, Rob Oshinsky. You could friend me, or go to Victory Sports, our Facebook page. You could go to robo@victorynation.com or 814-235-7676.
Well, Rob, appreciate the work you're doing. Appreciate the time as well.
Sure. Thanks, Don.
Serving Snyder County and much of central Pennsylvania is the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located along Route 35 just west of Mount Pleasant Mills in the lower level of the Family Practice Center. Pharmacist Terry Trutt and his staff provide answers about prescription medications while also stocking remedies for seasonal and general ailments. Shade Mountain Pharmacy at 570-539-2050. A supporter of WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Football Friday. Regional high school football action on WGRC.
Welcome back. We are still in halftime as we await our halftime interview with Coach Derek Hicks of the Sealands Grove Seals. Before we get down there with Don, Chris, why don't you share some of the halftime, some of the scores around the region?
Yeah, we'll just give you a quick score update. Zach, you can keep an eye out here for Coach Hicks. So in the third quarter, it is Shamokin 14-7 over Shikellamy. At halftime, it's Mount Carmel 28, Bloomsburg 0. We have Southern Columbia in the third quarter, 28-0 over Mount Montoursville. We also have Lewisburg. They are leading Central 14-7 at the half. And we have Loyal Sauk Township 23-14 leading Boyer Run right now. Mifflinburg 14-7 over Central Mountain in the second quarter. That's a tight one here. So just some scores from around the region here. As we wait Coach Hicks here, Sealands Grove, I'm sure in the second half they're wanting to kind of capitalize here and go mistake-free football for this entire second half. I guarantee that's Coach Hicks' challenge here to his team. And then, you know, Brian Rout, you know, he said, you got to stop that running game for Sealands Grove. That's what's really been hurting us. So, you know, we'll see what happens here. I'm just really, I don't know about you, but I'm really impressed by this game this week. I think it was a little bit better than what we expected here. And fans certainly getting a treat tonight here going into this district playoff here.
Yeah, Danville will get the ball first. It'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, they ended the half with the blocked field goal. It seemed like all momentum was going against them. You know, what's the message you think that Brian Ralph left them with?
If I'm Coach Rop, I think the message that I leave my Danville players with is, listen, you are totally in this football game. You may be down 1 point, but you are down 1 point to Sealands Grove. Danville's already coming out to the field here. They're ready to go. They're sprinting out to the field. They're fired up and ready to go. We haven't quite seen Sealands Grove yet. As a former player, sometimes that means that the coach is really laying the wood to you there. We're starting to see Sealands Grove players emerge here coming out. So any minute now, we're going to wait for Don Castline down there to try to get a word with Coach Hicks. That's my answer if I'm Coach Rop. I say to my players, listen, you're in this football team. A lot of other teams have not been able to hang with Sealands Grove. This is yours to win. We have to go out here. We have to execute. We have to capitalize. And we can do this. We need to rally together. Sealands Grove, if I'm Coach Hicks, I say, guys, this is not our football. We need to clean it up. We need to work together. We need a leader out there. And we need to play smarter football. We are better than this. We have gotten steadily better every week, and we are fully capable.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Bill Ironman.
Well, and it's just a reminder, too, that Southern Columbia plays Danville, and so the stakes are pretty high. It looks like we have Derek Hicks coming soon.
Yeah, he's going to emerge here from the crowd. Sealands Grove still hanging out down the end zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back your Sealands Grove Seals.
Teams are coming back on the field.
I don't know if we'll get Coach Hicks or not. Let's see. I don't see him.
Maybe he is precisely laying the wood, or he did lay the wood and needs a...
Well, his players are out here. I'm not sure. I mean, it looks like the other assistants are out here, so...
Yeah, guys, I assure you I'm playing defense here. Coach is not going to get out without getting a quick word in here. He's probably the last one out of the locker room, but we're going to be talking with Coach Derek Hicks in just a moment.
So, you know, as we prepare here for the second half, for me, I think it's just a matter of who wants it more. You have two teams that are playing very well, more evenly matched here. Danville's looking loose. They're ready to roll. I kind of watched the tenor of Sealands Grove coming out, very serious, kind of kicking the field around, maybe a little bit of disappointing the effort here, but, you know, you got to keep moving here. So, I don't know. I really don't know what to expect in the second half. It's uncharacteristic of some of the games that we've seen out both of these teams over these last few weeks.
One thing, I think one player that has stood out throughout this game has been KJ Riley. What do you make of his performance thus far?
Exactly what you need it to be. I mean, he's being a leader. He's playing smart football. He's getting the teams rallied around him. Oh, we have Coach Hicks. Let's go down to Don here.
All right, and we're down on the field. Coach Derek Hicks with Sealands Grove. You know, first half, obviously you guys have the lead. I know there's some things you would have talked to your team about trying to clean a few mistakes up from the first half. What'd you tell them?
You know, we just looked at defensively. We've got to press a little bit more. You know, they're getting rid of the ball quick. You know, quarterback's doing a great job. So secondary backers got to press there, and we got to find a way then to get a pass rush, make them hold on to the football. Offensively, you know, we're running the ball well, and I think we got to go with what works and start pounding a little bit.
All right, well, you guys have the lead. Have a great second half. Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to the game of the week on WGRC.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453 on the web at freelandsharley.com.
High school football action on WGRC.
We are here right before the second half to start. Zach Guggenheim here, Chris Miller, and Don Castelline. And we are really excited to bring the second half. This has been a fun game. It is 7-6. Sealands Grove leads by a point. Let me just give you a quick scoring recap. Danville started the scoring. It was a 25-yard touchdown catch, KJ Riley to Jager Dressler. And then after an interception from Riley, Nate Schoen ran in from 13 yards out to take the lead on the touchdown to make it 7-6. Danville ready to receive. Sealands Grove ready to kick. And this really entertaining game is about to underway once more.
Yeah, you know, Danville, they deferred in the first half, so they get the ball coming out here in the second. They want to keep that offensive machine moving. And let's see how Sealands Grove attacks.
And he kicks it. and it's end over end, and it is Smiley on the 10-yard line, and he's at the 15, gets to the 20, makes a great cut to the 25, to the 30, gets to the 34 before he is taken down.
I tell you what, Smiley, what a quick returner there. He's able to break that free, get up to, looks like about the 33, 34. Great return for Danville coming out. That's exactly what you need. Sealands Grove would have hoped for a little bit of less yardage, so let's see how it stacks.
Only a sophomore. He's only a sophomore, folks. It is they are on the 34-yard line. KJ Riley in the shotgun. Three wideouts to the left. And he throws it. It's a wide receiver screen to Sidler, who breaks a tackle, breaks another.
Wow, what a cut. It.
And he is down, pushed out of bounds at the 48-yard line. Check that. That is not Sidler. That is number 17, Carson Persing.
I tell you what, that seems to be a little peculiar.
Yeah, very, very peculiar. It was definitely number 17. We'll have to check on that in a moment. Riley in the shotgun, and he takes the snap, and it's a quarterback draw all the way. Quarterback power, and he's hit hard at the 49-yard line.
Well, you know, going back to the previous play, you had Brett Four out here on the cornerback for Sealands Grove, just missing the tackle there and allowing the extra cuts for the extra yardage. So very quickly, Danville's already out to just about the 50-yard line, and they're pushing. They want to come back, and they want to write that score that they had given up to Sealands Grove, and they want to put some points up. They're moving the football.
Tell you what, we will have to find out more information. There is definitely a number 17, and that is typically the number that Carson Persing wears. So we will have to figure out what is going on. KJ Riley in the gun, man in motion. He steps back, pressure coming, but he lofts it deep to Dressler, and he's got it. Incomplete. And he knows he had one, and he dropped it.
Wow. KJ Riley floated the ball over exactly what he needed to do, but the receiver, instead of sticking his hand out, he kind of let it bounce off of his chest. So, you know, he's wanting to kick himself for that one, but you just got to put it behind you. Brings up third down and 8. So they've been here before. They've picked up 10, 11 yards at a clip. So let's see what they do.
They are at midfield, third down and 8. We'll see if Sealands Grove brings pressure. Riley in the shotgun. Dressler across the formation, and he steps back, and he's flushed. Gets outside the pocket, gets to the 50, gets
Look
to the 45, and he fights.
Oh,
he's
wow.
going to be about a yard.
Oh, there's a late flag. There's a late hit by Sealands Grove, a costly penalty. KJ Riley was already out of bounds, and Sealands Grove, numbers 18 and 19 for the Seals, coming up with the late hit. You had Shock just getting over eager, and I tell you what, Coach Hicks could probably just absolutely be fuming at this point.
Exactly what you don't want. It was going to be about fourth and about a yard at the 41-yard line. They may have forced them to go, and now it's going to be an automatic first down.
And that's going to be a costly penalty, too, because that is no short potatoes. That's a 15-yard penalty there on that, and that's giving Danville the ball down at the Sealands Grove 28.
KJ Riley in the gun, four wide receivers. With Joey Harris to his left. Dressler in motion across the formation. And he steps back, and it's a screen to Harris. They've run this play a lot, and he avoids the tackle to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, and down around the 8-yard line.
This Danville offense is on the move. And I tell you what, you can't tell it by the radio, but Joey Harris, he is 5'5", 160. Do you know why that's important? Because at 5'5", he is so elusive, almost reminds you of like Emmett Smith from back in the day.
KJ Riley back in the gun, four wideouts. Joey Harris to his left. The defense in motion, motioning around, trying to figure out how to attack. Riley on a quarterback keeper, gets to the 5, and he will be down around the 4-yard line.
Wow, smart play here by Danville. I love this play call. They're coming out. They're just attacking. They're not waiting too long in between plays. They're just getting out there. They're getting set. They get on the ball, and they go. It's kind of keeping Sealands Grove on their toes here.
It is second and goal, 5 yards to the end zone here. 9:54 left here in the third quarter.
You got trips to the far side.
We'll see if they do something over there. Maybe a wide receiver bubble. He goes back, and it is a bubble, and it is almost picked off.
Almost an interception there by number two for Sealands Grove for Brandon Heil, but he just drops it. Oh, as a defender, your heart just goes right out your chest.
We called the play, and so did Sealands Grove. They knew what was coming.
Maybe we said it too loud.
We might have. We might have. Third down and goal now. And the Iron Men are going to huddle up here.
Danville needs a score. You can't push all that way and then come away with no points.
Trips again to the right. Riley in the gun. Harris to his right. And the snap comes. And he rolls to the right. And he avoids. He is stoned. Sacked at the 20, at the 15-yard line. Great play by Schoen and by number 54, Showers, Micaiah Showers.
If there was one mistake to talk about for Danville, it is that you cannot take that sack like that. If you're KJ Riley, you've got to throw that ball away. You were down inside the 10-yard line, and now you push yourself outside of that, making it even harder to get this extra field goal here.
It'll be a 32-yard attempt by K.J. Riley. Is at the center of the field, and there is a penalty flag on the play.
Sealands Grove's motioning that it's against Danville. We'll see what the officials call it. It looks like it's going to go against the Seals, maybe. Yep, offsides against Seals. That's 10 penalties already in this game. And again, it's hurting them at the most costly times. First downs, you know, when you're inside here going for the field goal, you know, you're just helping your opponent by the penalties that you commit here.
It was a 32-yard attempt, and it looked like he kicked it and it went through. It's now a 27-yard attempt.
So that's going to help Danville move them a little closer here, see if they can pick up this field goal.
High snap.
Oh,
hole
that's
is good.
Good. That's thrill.
And it goes right down kick. The middle. 9-7. Danville takes the lead. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back. This is the Game of the Week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function. Offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Friday Rock!
WGRC's Football Friday features top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC.
8:49 left here in the third quarter. We got a dandy here. 9-7. Danville leads the Sealands Grove Seals, and they are about to kick off after a 27-yard field goal by KJ Riley. Chris, there was some confusion in the press box. Did you get anything to clear up what was going on?
So just kind of talking to some of the other counterparts here, it does look like that is Carson Persing back out there. Look like it. He may have been. Hold on.
We have a kickoff. He's to the 20, to the 30, and that is Nyland.
Oh, there's a flag.
Nyland had
going to go against Sealands Grove.
Nyland had a great alley, but it seems like there's going to be a block in the back or a holding.
Yeah, this
penalty.
Would be penalty number 11 for the Seals tonight. Very uncharacteristic.
This is.
Yep, that's a hold. That's 11 penalties tonight by my tally. I might be off one, but there's at least 10 penalties against Sealands Grove tonight. Very uncharacteristic. So going back to the Carson Persing update, it looks like that is legitimately Carson Persing out there. We didn't see him in the first half. So typically when that happens, you're almost looking at like a first half suspension. You know, when you don't see guys out there for the first half, they're coming back in the second half. You see that very commonly in the pros and in college. You know, they're out for the first half, so we'll see how that may or may not help Danville coming out here in the second half.
He is out there on defense as well. They're in the I formation. Shock hands off to Schoen, and Carson Persing comes up, misses the tackle, And Schoen gets to about the 33-yard line.
I tell you what, Divin out there, he is just an incredible – I'm sorry, Mason Rupp out there for Danville. He's just an incredible athlete out there. He's doing a great job tonight, and I just love the way he plays.
He is approaching 100 tackles as a freshman.
That's impressive.
At the high school level. Second down and two. Shock under center, I formation, and he's going to hand off to Schoen, and he
nice
is stoned.
Nice defensive stop. Nice defensive stop there by Danville. You had
Sidler
a host of Ironmen in there.
Sidler got through first, and then a number of others.
Yeah, I tell you what, that whole defensive line in there for Danville, you know, you had looks like 58 in there for Danville. He was in on the stop. Just three, four guys that just met Schoen there in the backfield, held him up until the rest of the Ironmen can get there to wrap him up. If Danville can come up with a big stop here on third and two, that would just be incredible for their momentum.
Shock under center, drops back to pass. He rolls
to
his left.
Here. He's got
and
nobody.
Here comes.
Oh.
And he has no
chance
on the catch.
What a catch by Kantz for Sealingsgrove. I tell you what. Shock was kind of going back there. That was a dangerous throw. He lofted it up there. But credit to Kantz for Sealingsgrove for pulling that in and saving him.
That was a great play, absolutely. 7 minutes and 8 seconds and count and running as we get to first down and 10. They are across midfield at Danville's 49. 9-7, Danville leads. Sealingsgrove trying to answer the 27-yard field goal. Shock under center. Two men to the left, and he gives it to the fullback, Almond, and he plows through, breaks a tackle to the 35, stumbles to the 34-yard line.
Wow. I mean, Almond, he is just a load to bring down. He went through Jagger Dressler, who's 6'2", 170, and he went through Mason Rupp there. If I was Danville, I would not want to tackle him, but you definitely have to stay low because he is a load coming through there.
6:37 left here in the quarter, and they give to Alman again right up the middle, and he has stopped after about a yard gain.
Big difference there for Danville. You had number 52, Brady Hill, in there leading the charge, and when you can get your 5'11", 227-pound lineman in there to make a stop, that kind of evens the tables here on Aument here. You're talking more even playing field for manpower.
Shock, it looks like, is going to go under center. I formation, two wideouts to the left. Metzger, the tight end, to the right. And he's going to hand off to the big man, Schoen. He's got room, and he slips. Slips down at about the 21-yard line, but he will have enough for the first down.
Schoen so frustrated there. He went to make the cut back to the inside, and a turf monster. This is the second person tonight that it's claimed. So, you know, as it starts to get cooler here tonight, you know, you start to maybe... Even with turf, it gets a little slick, you know, so the cuts aren't as nice when it's dry and warm. So Sealingsgrove still driving, though.
Shock gives the handoff to Schoen. He's stretched out to the left, and he gets the edge, but just gets a couple yards and is knocked out of bounds at about the 13-yard line. It's a pickup of seven.
Seeing the further that Schoen went to the outside, Danville defenders were just spying him and were just content that if he was going to get anything, it was only going to be 2 yards and maybe shove him out there so that he couldn't get to the end zone on the outside.
Schoen is a big man, but he is also pretty quick. He has been a tough man to stop tonight for Danville. Second down and two at the 13-yard line. And they give to Almond, who goes up the middle, and I think he gets the first down.
He tried to reach there. It's going to be close. Looks like they're going to spot him at the 9. I'm sorry, the 11. They're not moving the sticks.
It'll be third down and maybe a half yard here.
Wow, this has got to be a big stand for Danville. They need this stop here.
4:40 left in the quarter.
They're going to load
Shock
the box.
Under center. And he goes Kubi sneak,
yep.
And he gets the first down.
Danville got through the line. They got pressure, but Shock just kind of sidestepped to the left and was able to follow his line. Danville kind of, as we see it, Sealingsgrove played to the left side, and Danville defenders were coming through on the right side, so it was just a little bit of a shift there in the line to be able to allow him through.
Really great patience on that run, too. Sealands Grove at the 9-yard line. First and goal. Shock under center. I formation. He's going to give to Schoen. And he's stretched out to the right. Finds a hole. Gets through there.
Oh,
touchdown.
Wow.
Nate Schoen, his second of the evening. 9 yards.
There is a penalty down. And I think they're going to get a block in the back here on Sealands Grove. They should have, because Sealands Grove just absolutely blocked number three, which would have been Rupp. They just had him blocked in the back and just shoved him out of the way. But they're going to call it a hold. So, again, you know, this is number 12. Seals committing penalties when it hurts them the most. They were driving. They had all the momentum. They're going down for a score, and now you're going to get shoved back on these penalties again. So, great football team, but you know what? Even the best of football teams, they get bitten by this penalty bug, and somehow you got to just find a way to quit committing the penalties.
They're all the way back at the 18-yard line. Shock under center, and it...
Oh, there's movement. They're calling for movement by the official.
And this is going to back him up another 5 yards.
Oh, they're debating with the official that... You had Shock saying that he didn't hear the whistle. The official said, listen, I blew my whistle, you go. Danville was looking for movement on that line, so they're going to leave it set and restart the clock.
And they hand off to Schoen. Schoen up the middle. He's got a wide open alley. Touchdown. 18 yards by Nate Schoen. It doesn't matter.
Wow. That's a hard one. Danville won the penalty, looking for movement on the line. There was delay by Sealands Grove, which probably should have cost them a penalty. The official was able to reset the clock, reset it, and, you know, Sealands Grove able to go down in there and get the score. So,
Kyle Rule.
One of those things.
Kyle Rule getting ready for the kick and the hold, and it's
and
in,
there's another penalty. False start against Sealands Grove. 13 penalties tonight.
As it stands now, it's 13-9 with the point after attempt coming. But this is going to be a harder PAT now.
It is. I mean, and Sealands Grove is able to get the touchdown, so some people would say, well, what does it matter? You know, they're able to get the score. But it's these penalties, like you said, that is putting them in these positions, and you just can't help but wonder if that could potentially affect them late into the fourth quarter.
Kyle Rule back. The holder has
it. Oh, and there's another block, and that's exactly what you said. These penalties, they are just absolutely hurting Sealands Grove at the most opportune times. And Danville, once again, second block tonight.
Danville has done well on special teams. It is 13-9. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Game of the Week on WGRC.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons, LLC. A proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
High school football action on WGRC.
4:08 left here in the third quarter. It has been a fun start to the second half.
You know, it has. I mean, these are one of these games where it is just a grudge match. It's back and forth, back and forth. You don't see either team hanging their head. And it's a four-point ball game. I'm just amazed here because something has to give. I mean, Sealands Grove is able to get these points, but you can't commit that amount of penalties and have it not sneak up on you somewhere. And if you're Danville, you know.
We've got a squib kick here on the 30-yard line, and he takes it to the 35. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine. I was going to say, if you're Danville, exactly what just happened. You're getting good yardage here on these returns. But somehow you got to find a way to kind of step it up, and you got to kind of put your foot on the gas and just keep Sealands Grove off balance to go down and get those scores. That really worked well for them the last possession that they had it.
And I wonder how much Carson Persing being back in the lineup here is going to affect this as well as this game finishes out.
Well, and we'll see what Danville does here, and then I'll bring up a point with you.
All right, it's first down and 10 at the 34. KJ Riley under center. Two backs in the backfield, Persing out wide, and it's a wide receiver screen, but it is incomplete. It was a low throw. Chris, go ahead. Keep.
No, what I was going to say is, you know, you see this happen in pro games. You see this happen in college games, you know, where you have a player that's out for the entire first half. Sometimes it's not as easy just to plug them back in when you have a lot of momentum going. You know, it's hard to get back in there and gel with the team and the guys that you have. So sometimes, even though they may be one of your star players, if you have a good momentum train rolling, sometimes you got to weigh that and say, do we go with who we have, or do we try to throw something back in there? It's going to disrupt the run.
Second down and 10 now. Persing across the motion. Three to the right, and there is a penalty flag.
Looks like this is going to be a false start here against Danville, would be my assumption.
Illegal
procedure against Danville.
And it'll be second down and 15 now from their own 29-yard line. 4 minutes left here, 13-9. Selinsgrove Grove leads. And we've got a great game here as Danville tries to answer the touchdown by Nate Schoen. It was his second of the day. He has had a heck of a game with a 18-yard touchdown as well as a 13-yard touchdown run. He has the Seals on top, but now here comes K.J. Riley and the Ironmen. Riley in the gun. Four wideouts wide. Dressler across the motion. Riley gets the snap, drops back, pressure comes, and Joey Harris has got it, but a great tackle, and that is number 44, Almont, the linebacker, as well as the fullback for Selinsgrove. Great tackle by Almont.
Yeah, he saw that play before, and he wasn't fooled this time. He was not going to let Danville get to the outside there, was able to step up and make the tackle. If you're Danville, you're struggling here. I mean, it's 3rd and 18. You don't need to help Selinsgrove. They're able to put points on the board all on their own. So, you know, got to be careful here.
3:22 left. 3rd down and long. Dressler comes across the motion. Riley drops back. Pressure coming. And he fires it downfield. Got it complete.
Oh, my word.
And it is Sidler. No, it is Carson Persing comes and makes a great grab across the middle.
Now, I'm going to tell you at home, that is an absolute no-no. He threw into triple coverage. Even though he was able to thread that needle in there, that is dangerous when you're throwing back across the middle and into triple coverage, but somehow he finds a way to make it work.
First down and 10 at the 49, and it's a quarterback keeper, and he's got a lane at the 45, 40, gets to the 35 and down, but what a lane up the middle for the quarterback, K.J. Riley.
And see, we've seen this before. You just need that one play that gives you a spark, and then Riley says, guys, let's go. And it's just like watching a little joystick. He just kind of shifts his hips left to right, kind of sifts up through there, is able to pick up more yardage, and this is what they do. Now, when they get down around inside the 10, that's where they've been having trouble with the drive stalling. So let's see what the play call is here that they go with to keep this moving.
Harris in the backfield. Riley in the gun. Four wideouts. Two to the left, two to the right. Dressler comes across in motion. And it's going to be another quarterback keeper. Another lane up the middle, and he gets another first down to the 24-and-a-half-yard line. And they have found something with the quarterback draw and the quarterback keepers.
Yeah, I tell you what here. A little concerned here seeing Tyler Seamus come out. Looks like he might have a shoulder injury for Danville. I'm not sure if it's a stinger or what it is. But hopefully he can get back out there because they need every lineman that they can get on there. Seamus, 235 out there, 6'2". He's a big anchor out there on the line.
Riley in the gun. Harris to his right. Four wideouts, two to the left, two to the right. And he's waiting for the ball. He gets the ball, and it's another keeper. He comes to the right, gets a hole, and gets about 5 yards before he is sandwiched at the 20-yard line.
But, you know, credit to K.J. Riley. He'll take those 5 yards. He took a pretty good lick out there. Uh-oh. He's going to go down.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't get too alarmed about it.
We're going to take a quick break. This is the Game of the Week on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven, and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Top matchups from around the region. It's the high school football game of the week on WGRC's Football Friday.
So we are still in injury timeout as KJ Riley is down. His helmet is off. The trainers are looking. Chris, you were saying before that it didn't look like it was anything too serious, that he was walking around, and now all of a sudden he's on the ground. What do you think this could be?
I don't know. I mean, when he was taking the run there a couple times, he was trying to twist and turn, you know, and he was trying to kind of lean for the extra yardage. So he's taken several big shots over there. You know, you don't know if he got the wind knocked out of him. It didn't look like it was a helmet-to-helmet. He's setting up, possibly just got the wind knocked out of him. They're giving him water. Looks like he's, you know, trying to breathe a little bit harder. And sometimes when you get the wind knocked out of you, that's just it's hard to grasp for air. You have both training staff out there for Danville and Sealands Grove looking at him, just trying to make sure that he's okay. You hope that he's okay because he's been a gamer for Danville all game long. He really is the heart and soul of this offense. And also stepping up big tonight on defense. So you just hope that he's okay and that he can go. He's up on his feet. So not walking off very quickly. Pretty gingery, kind of holding his stomach, his chest there. So we'll see what happens. I'm not really sure who they go to here. They have a couple quarterbacks listed as possibilities. I'm not sure if Trey Miller will get to go. He's also listed a senior at 6'3", 183. They also have another quarterback here, Zach Gordon. He's a freshman, so possibly look to Trey Miller to go here if KJ Riley can't go.
And it looks like Carson Persing is in the backfield.
Well,
with Joey Harris.
This could get real interesting.
So we'll see what happens here. We'll see if maybe they just have him in there for his speed and they get numbers on the quarterback. Second down and six at the 20-yard line. Harris to the left, four wide receivers. And it is a quarterback keeper, and Persing cuts up the field and gets to the 15-yard line.
They went with that wildcat formation, that direct snap here. And, you know, Danville's got to get creative now because one of your biggest leaders, he's off here on the sideline on the training table. You still have number 53 for Danville down, Tyler Seamus. He's still over here. So, you know, for Danville, now you got to get creative. You got to ask some of your star players to step up and fill those gaps here. They're still able to drive. It's third and one. I think a safe play call. You know, maybe you, it looks like Sealens grows low in the box. They're expecting them to run. So
Persing under center, and he sneaks and tries to push for yardage. I'm not sure if he got it.
I think he might have just gotten it. It looks like the official has motioned him just past the stick. We'll see. It's close. It's real close.
They just adjusted the line. The line just adjusted it. It's fourth down.
Oh, wow. What a big stop for Sealens Grove. It can't be more than, like, maybe a half a yard.
19 seconds left and counting. They might just run out the clock here.
I think they're going to and kind of regroup, and let's see what Coach Rob has for them to start this fourth quarter. We're going into a big fourth quarter here for Danville Sealens Grove.
It's fourth and one on the 15-yard line. The Sealens Grove Seals leads 13. Danville has nine.
You hear the crowd from Danville, very pleased here, so we're heading to fourth.
We're going to the fourth quarter. We'll join you after we take a break. This is the game of the week on WGRC.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
Salton Light Media Ministries.
Listener supported 91.3 WGRC Lewisburg.
90.9 WJRC Lewistown.
90.7 WCRG Williamsport.
91.9 WCRG Cultmont.
Also heard on 107.7 in Bloomsburg.
104.7 in Pottsville.
107.1 in Williamsport.
And 101.7 in State College.
Streaming at WGRC.com.
And the
now it's back to the game on WGRC's Football Friday.
Has been here tonight at Sealands Grove. It's senior night for the Seals, and right now the Seals clinging to a 13-9 lead over Danville. I'm Don Castell. I want to thank Zach Guggenheim.
I was going to say, Zach, you really
running
did
a lot
great
of
job changing your voice.
Well, and Chris Miller here at the field as well. Right now it is Danville facing a fourth down and one. Persing, shotgun, takes a high snap now straight up the middle. He's got that first down.
Ooh, I think he did. Not a lot
to spare, though. Maybe
just
by
enough.
About a yard.
Wow. That looked like Sealands Grove had him behind the line here. But I tell you what, Persing able to sneak to the outside and pick up those yards. Big pickup here for Danville.
So now Danville placed on the 12-yard line. First down and 10. Again, it's a four-point lead for Sealands Grove. The Seals at 5-3 on the season. Looking to try and get a big win at home. Danville, 4-4, desperately looking for a win here in week 9. First down and 10. Low snap. Persing grabs it, gives it off to Harris. Not much there on the left side. In fact, he's going to be dropped for a loss. Big tackle there by Micaiah Showers, the inside linebacker for Sealands Grove.
That just has not been there for Danville all night. That bounce to the outside, that little halfback misdirection, just not there. That center line, defensive line for Sealands Grove, just too tough tonight.
Now it'll be a second down and 10. Again, Danville from the Sealands Grove 12-yard line, and it looks like Danville's going to call a timeout. They'd like to talk about it. We'll take a timeout
KJ
as well.
KJ Riley looks like he's going to come back in.
All right, so good news there for the Ironmen. We'll take a 30-second break. Back with more fourth-quarter action coming up on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam. Mike Bordner, owner, is sponsoring in part tonight's WGRC High School Football Game of the Week. Since 1986, Coast Transmissions has provided service and repair for automatic and manual transmissions for domestic and most foreign automobiles and light trucks. Open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located near the intersection of Routes 11 and 15. Coast Transmissions of Shamokin Dam at 743-1115.
And the score update in Montoursville, it was Southern Columbia scoring all the points, 35-0. The final there. Guys, back to you.
Joe, appreciate that. So the Southern Columbia machine motors on. Well, here tonight,
That's impressive.
Been a tough, tough ball game here tonight. Right now, Danville, a second down and 13. And KJ Riley is back in, goes to the corner of the end zone.
Oh, my word!
Touchdown. Wow! Touchdown in the corner of the end zone as Riley finds Persing for six.
He was double covered on that play, and Persing delivered the ball the only place where the defenders weren't going to get it. That was over their head and at the back of the end zone for his receiver just to lay his hands over and take the 1-2 step to get the score.
So with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Danville strikes again in this back-and-forth battle.
Oh, Danville's missing a player out there. You got to get out there.
Quickly hustling out for Danville, getting out on the field. Freshman gets out onto the field. So the play clock right now at 11 seconds. They're working to get this extra point lined up, which would be kicked by KJ Riley. He's 25 of 25 on extra points. And this one is up, and it is good.
So, I mean, Danville really needed that because now this makes this a three-point ball game. If they miss it there, it's 2 points, and if it comes down to a field goal, that means that Sealands Grove could win it if they had to.
It's Danville 16, Sealands Grove 13. Back with more fourth-quarter action next on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Robert Marks Sr. of Marks, McLaughlin, and Dennehy, attorneys at law in Danville, is pleased to support WGRC's presentation of the District 4 High School Football Game of the Week, providing guidance for cases such as personal injury, automobile accidents, criminal defense, real estate, wills, and adoptions. Located at 48 West Market Street in Danville, Marks, McLaughlin, and Dennehy, attorneys at law, 570-275-3411.
Now it's back to the game on WGRC's Football Friday.
A back-forth battle here on Senior Night in Sealands Grove, and right now it would be the Ironmen with the 16-13 lead over Sealands Grove, thanks to a big touchdown pass connection. K.J. Riley finding Carson Persing, and Danville set to kick off to Sealands Grove. Again here, big matchup in the fourth quarter between these two teams, trying to better their playoff position. Here's the kickoff by Danville, end over end. It's going to be fielded right about the 12-yard line. Across the 15, 20, to the 25, 30. Finds a seam on the far side to the 40-yard line, and now out of bounds. Big return there for Sealands Grove. Dean Hollenbach, the senior, able to get that far sideline. So good field position coming up here for the Seals.
Yeah, good saving tackle there by Jagger Dressler. These returners for Sealands Grove, they're quick. They've been quick all night, so they will hurt you, and they will get yardage quick. So brings the ball out to beyond Sealands Grove's 45. So great field position here to start for Sealands Grove.
Seals set to start here from the 46, first down and 10. Still lots of time to go in this fourth quarter, 10:51 on the clock. Shock under center, two receivers near side, I formation, goes to the second back, nothing doing in the middle, now bounces it to the right, and gets the corner, midfield, to the Danville 40, 30, 20, 10, and just like that, Sealands Grove has answered as Nade Schoen takes it 54 yards for the score.
Wow, what an incredible run by Schoen. I mean, Danville was there, but again, it's that wrap and tackle. You got to go low. I mean, Schoen is going to stiff arm you, and you give him that much room, and he's going to make you pay. Great run there by Schoen for Sealands Grove.
Well, this game may have the sense of who has the football last, maybe the one that comes away the winner. Right now, the Seals break back on top, 19-16, pending the extra point with 10:39 to go. So it took only 21 seconds to answer that last touchdown. Here is the extra point attempt by Rule. The hold, a good one. The kick is up, and it does go through. So, 10:39 to go, fourth quarter. We'll take a break. It's now Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Underwriting WGRC is Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. For over 55 years, Steininger's has provided dry cleaning service for area residents, caring for all types of garments. Steininger's also cleans and preserves wedding gowns. Featuring drive-through service at 4 Commerce Avenue in Hummel's Wharf and 7th Street in Lewisburg. Also located at 107 West Pine Street in Sealands Grove. And featuring additional drop-off locations in Middleburg, Mifflinburg, Northumberland, and Sunbury. And at Lingle's Market in Watsontown. Steininger's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Glad to support WGRC.
Well, lots of excitement still to come here in this fourth quarter. It's been a good one. Senior night at Sealands Grove, and the Seals with the latest touchdown, now leading Danville 20-16. The Ironmen set to receive this kickoff once again as lots of time to go. Danville with a couple of timeouts. Sealands Grove with three of their own. And
Watch us kick off here.
Let's see where Sealands Grove goes with this one. And it is going to be pretty deep. Going to be, in fact, a line drive kick fielded at the 5. Now across the 10, 15, to the 20. This is Persing to the 23-yard line. And Carson Persing will be tackled right there. Danville will have it first and 10 from the 23.
Danville got away with a block in the back there. The official didn't pick up. But Sealands Grove not on their kickoff team, not actually spreading the whole way across the field, going about three-quarters of the way over, kind of concentrating their defenders in a given area, and it worked for them.
You heard just a little bit ago that the final, as Southern Columbia did defeat Montoursville. These two teams playing tonight will be playing those two teams, as Sealands Grove will travel to Montoursville next week. As for Danville, they'll be on the road to face the Tigers there at Southern Columbia. So each of these teams would love to grab a win here tonight, knowing it's going to be a big battle coming up in that final week of the season. KJ Riley, shotgun, takes the snap, looking downfield, right across the middle. A little bit of a tight window to go, and he somehow threads the needle and finds Jagger Dressler right across the middle on the near hash.
Tell you what, KJ Riley, he doesn't do anything easy, does he? He finds the
No fear for this quarterback.
He finds the tightest windows, the hardest throws, and he somehow makes those the one that he capitalizes on.
Well, that's a big play right there to the 30, just shy of the 33. So it's going to be second down and a little less than a yard to go. Same formation. Riley, shotgun, has one to his, Harris to his left. It's going to be a pass that's tipped and it falls incomplete. Trying to find Persing to his left, and fortunately for Danville, it hits the turf without falling into the hands of a Sealands Grove Seal. So now third and less than a yard to go, 9:53 in this fourth quarter. Danville situated right now on their own 32.
You know, we talked to Coach Hicks 2 weeks ago at Shamokin, and he said that they get a little bit better as the game goes on. Now their linemen are starting to get their hands up. They're looking for these outside passes, these quick passes. So get your hands up and try to knock them down.
Danville back to spreading it out with four receivers. One is in the backfield. Riley from the shotgun. Riley's going to keep it himself, and he is not going to get the first down. May have lost a half yard. Riley tried to go to the right, just not a lane at all for him to be able to get through there, and he took that from the shotgun. I mean, this was not a quarterback sneak or anything like that. It was, you know, from the shotgun formation there. So
you had
Sealands Grove all over it.
You had Vance Metzger and Wyatt Metzger saying, "No, sir, you're not getting yardage on our side," and they stopped him pretty quick.
So Danville in a likely punting situation. Riley, keep in mind, is the punter, also the quarterback. Persing is to the far side. Always want to watch him even on a punt scenario here. So Riley standing back at his own 19.
And we have a
timeout or a penalty. I don't see a flag. But indeed, it is going to be a delay of game here against the Danville Ironmen. So, you know, in Sealands Grove, the returners right about their own 40-yard line back deep for Sealands Grove would be Nyland and also four. And those guys are going to be able to obviously scoot up about 5 yards. And here, Sealands Grove leading Danville 20-16. You know, another touchdown could prove to be costly for sure for Danville, trying to keep this a one-score game. Here's the punt by Riley.
Not a very good one.
And it's going to hit right about the 45, but boy, does it take a good Danville roll, and it's going to go out about the 38. So they pick up about 7 yards on the roll. And that is where Sealands Grove is going to have it first down and 10 from their own 37-yard line.
Yeah, I tell you what, Sealands Grove, again, is getting good field position on their side of the ball. Danville has got to come up with a big stop here. They've got to look for an interception, strip the ball, something to turn this over. You need to get it in Sealands Grove's side of the field here. You'd love to get a turnover so that it would make it that much closer to getting points.
Here come the Seals. They've been having some increasing success on the ground. Penalty flag comes out before.
And that's another one against the Seals. Their linemen are looking at each other saying, "Guys, get set. This is like 14 penalties tonight."
So they were still standing, most of them. Not on the same page there. So back it up 5. It'll be Sealands Grove now starting here. First down and 15 from their own 33. Sealands Grove working right to left here. 8:58 to play in the fourth quarter. Handoff. This is going to be shown, and Danville able to get in there and cover that play up well. Some quick penetration by Mason Raup. He didn't get credit for the tackle, but he disrupted that play and was able to pave the way for teammates to clean up.
CJ out, the backup tight end and linebacker, came in and cleaned that up.
So now second down and 14. It was a gain of 1 on that play.
I was going to say Sean was showing the turf, but that wasn't, you know.
Appreciate the effort on that, though, Chris. 8:24 to go, fourth quarter. It's going to be Shock under center, I formation. Handoff to the up back to the 40-yard line, and then wrestled down at the 41. Big yardage there for Ryan Aument, the big junior fullback, straight up the middle.
He is just a handful. It says he's 195. I don't know if it's a shoulder pads or what, but he looks a lot beefier than 195. I mean, he is a load to try to bring down.
So now third down and 7 after a pickup of 7. Sealands Grove looking to extend this drive. Every first down, again, puts them one step closer. They lead right now Danville. It's Sealands Grove 20, the Ironmen 16. 7:44 now showing on the clock. Two receivers to the far side. As Shock comes up, they're going to let that play clock get under 5. I formation, handoff again. It's going to be Schoen.
There's the penetration by Danville.
Hits the turf there at the 41-yard line and getting through among those on the stop. Colton Sidler, he was among the Ironmen in on that tackle. So big stop for the Ironmen. Here comes Sealands Grove's punt team.
And I have to say something about Sealands Grove. They really showed Danville a lot of respect there. They were grinding the clock because they know that Danville can move the ball. So like you said, they were trying to grind the clock and respecting what they're capable of and trying to take as much time away from them as they can.
So set to punt now. Metzger gets off a high kick. End over end fair catch called for by Persing right about the 25-yard line. And that is where Danville will take over. We're going to take a break right here. Back with more fourth quarter action coming up. It's Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16 on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Freeland's Harley-Davidson of Bloomsburg is supporting WGRC. Since 1990, they've been selling new and used bikes, parts, and accessories. Their on-site service department performs repairs, restorations, and customizations. In-house financing is available. Bike storage is offered from November through April. Located along Route 11 with hours Monday through Saturday, their phone number is 570-784-2453 on the web at freelandsharley.com.
Football Friday. Regional high school football action on WGRC.
Danville, a first down, a pitch left, and it's going to be Dressler for a pickup of just a few yards on that left side. That will be now a second down and seven coming up for the Ironmen.
And Jory Rinaldi for Danville, he's got to come out. He lost his helmet there on the play, so he's got to come out for a play here. Again, these linemen, you need as many of your starting linemen out there as you can to hold up this Sealands Grove defense.
Looks like Seamus is back out there, number 53. He went out earlier.
Well, that's good to see out there, too. So one goes out and one goes in.
Now here comes Danville. Spread it out again. They'll have those four receivers set with two on each side. Riley from the shotgun takes the high snap, able to move up the middle himself, gets to about the 30-yard line. That's going to be a gain of a couple, and that's going to set up a third down and five coming up here for the Ironmen.
You know, Sealands Grove is able to get there. He's able to stop him from getting the first down. Manageable third down here for Danville, but they need this first down in more ways than one.
On their own 30-yard line, clock still lots of time here, although inside of 6 minutes to go, 5:52 and counting. Again, this is a Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16 score here on senior night at Sealands Grove. Still that spread formation. The snap goes over Riley's head. He goes back, retrieves it, throws down the field.
Oh, my word!
Receiver caught.
Oh, my word!
And it's at the 40-yard line of Sealands Grove as somehow the play of the night, KJ Riley finds Jagger Dressler. Just slipped all alone, and Dressler's going to have to come out.
He's hurt.
Dressler shaken up on that after a huge catch, and it's going to be on the 35-yard line of Sealands Grove.
Heart-wrenching. I don't even know how he did this. KJ Riley, he's like a magician back there. I mean, we think that it's going to be lost yardage. He picks up the ball, and suddenly he's got two receivers down the field, and he just heaves it. And we're like, no, and all of a sudden they're set up on the Sealands Grove side of the field here. It looks like it might just be a cramp for Danville. That would be the best-case scenario. So let's hope that that's just a cramp.
So Jagger Dressler right now on the turf again, the injury, but a big, big reception.
Well, I think this is, you know, not just a no-no on the throw. It's a no-no on what he did with the ball when it went over his head. Typically, you're coached. You land on the ball. Like, you land on it. He caught it on a hop. He danced a little bit to evade tacklers, and then he just heaves it. Man, KJ Riley, it seems like he makes 5 to 7 wow plays a game. He's just athletic. He's a really accurate thrower, but he's just been phenomenal tonight.
And he definitely benefited from a good turf hop. We all know a football can go all different kinds of directions. It popped right up in the ideal spot for him to be able to grab that. And what a great recognition to find an open receiver. Again, that Jagger Dressler. I want to say it did appear to be cramping, and Jagger Dressler walking off under his own power.
He's bouncing around.
He looks like he'll be back in pretty soon here for sure. So now Danville on the move, converting on that big third down in a little bit of an unconventional manner. First down and 10, Danville from the Sealands Grove, 35-yard line, 5:20 as that clock winds up once again.
Riley's out in the, as a wide receiver.
Persing takes the snap. It's Carson Persing, left side, tries to find that corner, maybe gets a yard. Not much more than that. It'll be second down and a long nine coming up.
So, Don, I'm going to test your memory here. When you look at the score, you look at the way this game has gone, what other Danville game does this remind you of that we did this year?
Well, that might be a Danville
Loyal Sock
game, week two.
Yeah. It came down to the wire, 40.
Who had the ball last?
45 seconds, and Danville was able to pull out a squeaker. So this has been back and forth all game, very close. So it'll be really interesting to see if it shakes out similarly.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at the season. Danville here tonight, 4-4. There's a couple of games they look at the end, and they thought, oh, if we could have gotten that game, could be a very different record here for Danville. Well, there's going to be a timeout on the field. We're going to take one as well. As the score, it is Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16. We've got 4:30 to go. Back with more exciting fourth quarter action next on the High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
Supporting WGRC is Horizon Federal Credit Union, serving residents throughout North Central Pennsylvania, providing a range of banking services, including interest-bearing checking accounts, as well as auto, home equity, and mortgage loans. Online and mobile banking are available, with branch locations in Williamsport and Lock Haven and ATMs elsewhere in Lycoming and Clinton counties. Online at horizonfcu.org.
Now it's back to the game on WGRC's Football Friday.
And quite a game it has been here tonight as the excitement continues. 4.5 minutes to play in this Week 9 matchup. Next to last week of the regular season, it's Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16. Danville with a second down and 9 on the Sealands Grove at 34-yard line. Riley back to throw and just misses his target, trying to find Persing. Would have only been a few yards advanced, but it does fall. Hits the turf. He led him a little too far, and it was a little too low. So now a big third down and 9 coming up here for Danville.
Yeah, Trey Bainey out there for Sealands Grove. He got through the line. He was looking for a penalty. He came up, questioned the official, where's the penalty? And he was waiting, but the official said, no, I'm not going to throw it. So, like you said, big third down here for Danville and for Sealands Grove.
And could be fourth down territory, especially if Danville's able to get a few yards here. Again, looking at a third down and 9. Players in motion. Now they're set. Riley, shotgun, takes the low snap, drops back. He's pressured, rolls right, looks downfield, throws, and it's going to be a little behind Persing. Persing was coming to the near sideline, and just across that right shoulder, kind of threw it behind him. It falls incomplete. 4th and 9. Now decision here for Brian Raup, what to do with 4th and 9 on the Sealands Grove 35. It's 4:20 to go. His team down by 4.
Don, I think this is going to be the play of the game. Sealands Grove has shown that they can run the ball. They get it with about 4 minutes left. I think they can run out the clock. So, you know, if you're Danville, you really need to pick this up.
Going to be a chunk play needed. 9 to advance the sticks. Here comes Danville. Riley taking the snap, looking. Goes across the middle, kind of throws a jump ball. It's going to be picked off by Sealands Grove. And Sealands Grove now to the 30, 35-yard line, and brought down about the 42. So the pick there from Sealands Grove as the interception made by Danny Schock. So not only is he a quarterback, but, of course, very solid in that secondary as well. And he gets the pick there for Sealands Grove. And Schock and the offense will take over here on their own 43-yard line. Now, if you're Danville, you can come up with a stop. Danville has a timeout. There's still 4:09 on the clock.
They have one timeout left. They just burnt one here a few plays ago. So, again, KJ Riley kind of uncharacteristically thrown back across his body. Just like you said, he just heaved it. And Sealands Grove was there in the waiting. So let's see what this defense does for Danville.
Well, you mentioned earlier that Sealands Grove running the ball pretty effectively. Right now it's Schock in the shotgun with A handoff here to Schoen. Schoen
what a beautiful
up
tackle
at the 41-yard line, and that time just exploding right through the middle. Mason Rout, the freshman tackle machine. He's got to be closing in on 100 tackles on the season now.
He has been fantastic in this game. He has not missed tackles. He has gotten into the backfield. Mason Rout has been one of their best defenders. Him and number two, Divin. Is it Divin?
Divin.
Those two guys have been phenomenal tonight.
Divin getting the start tonight in place of Ian Persing, and he has come up big. Shock under center this time. Quick handoff to Ahmed up the middle to the 44-yard line. That's going to be a gain of just a few.
Didn't give him much.
Did get about three or four on that. It's going to be now a third down and nine coming up for the Seals. 3:17 to go here in this fourth quarter against Selins Grove. A four-point lead. And, of course, Selins Grove is going to let that play clock get down under five for sure. Right now it shows 17 seconds. Currently, Nyland is getting his shoe tied. Shock's got that play in. And now Selins Grove set 5 seconds on the play clock. And they will get the snap off with 1 second. Yeah, penalty flag comes out. Hollenbach goes right, and Hollenbach is going to be wrapped up and driven
tackle
back at the 40. And then he's still on his feet somehow, but Danville able to stop that progress enough. They do blow the whistles, blow that play dead, but let's check on this penalty flag.
I tell you what, beautiful effort here by Danville. Exactly what you needed. I don't know what they're going to end up taking. Nope. Illegal shift the way it looked by Selins Grove.
And Danville will, with great joy, they will just go ahead and decline that, and they'll take the football back. So,
Don, I don't mean to beat a drum, but 16 penalties tonight by Selins Grove. That's almost unheard of.
That's definitely, and here they still have a four-point lead, but to your point, they're not doing themselves a favor with that amount of penalty yardage for sure.
And so it's almost at the costliest times. You know, when they're going for the third down or when they're trying to go for the score, it always hurts them at the most opportune times.
Danville set to receive with their returners right about the 28-yard line. That is where Persing and company will set up to try and return this one. Punt here by Metzger, and he angles it towards the sideline. Doesn't want anything to do with Persing on a return here, and it's going to be caught right about the 33-yard line as Dressler, that time able to fair catch it. So it'll be Danville now, first down and 10 from the 33-yard line, 2:07 to go. A lot of excitement here tonight on the game of the week, senior night. It'll be a memorable one for the Seals, especially if they can come away a winner. As right now, Selins Grove a 20-16 lead. They're trying to hang on. The Danville Ironmen, though, at 4-4 on the season, and looking right now at the lower end of the standings in AA, they could really, or rather in AAA standings, they really could use a win here tonight. Shotgun for Riley, spread out with those four receivers, two on each side. Takes the snap, and the penalty flag comes out, and it looks like Danville this time perhaps going to be whistled. We'll see.
Looks like K.J. Riley is pleading his case with the official.
Looks like it's going to be a false start here against the Ironmen. Indeed, that is the case, so back him up five. And, you know, again, the difference between a first down and 10 and first down and 15, huge, especially when you know that this likely could be the last moments you get an opportunity to drive the field, trailing by four. They're going to need a touchdown. Danville coming up to the line of scrimmage. It's now at the 28-yard line, first down and 15. Riley from the shotgun. Pumps, rolls right, looks, overthrows Persing on the Danville sideline. Incomplete. It'll be second down and 15 coming up. Good coverage there for Selins Grove as Wyatt Metzger able to try and stay step for step with Carson Persing. So incomplete pass. It'll now be second down and 15 coming up for the Ironmen.
This will be a tough play call. Less than 2 minutes. Second and long. And Selins Grove is probably going to dial up a blitz or something.
So let's see here as Danville coming up to that line of scrimmage on the 28-yard line. Again, 1:59 to go here in this fourth quarter. It's Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16. Hang in there. Exciting conclusion here to this Week 9 matchup. Riley from the gun. One in motion, gives him trips on the near side. That's where he comes. Goes for Persing. Caught at the 25. Persing now reverses the field. Trying to get the other corner. He's looking for it. Does get there, but doesn't get much. Gets back to the original line of scrimmage. Maybe picks up a yard to the 29. He had another tackler before to try and beat before perhaps finding a way to get the some open field. But there is a penalty flag down. I think this one's going against Danville once again.
Boy, this has been a tough drive for Danville. Two penalties. And just the penetration by Sealands Grove has just really thrown off their offense.
So now they're going to move this all the way back to the 17-yard line. So this is going to be second down and a bunch coming up here for the Ironmen. They've got to get all the way to the 43-yard line to get a first down. So we're looking at a second down and 26 here for Danville. Not a lot of plays, but again, this could be four. Well, it is definitely four down territory no matter what. There's 1:42 and counting on the clock. It's Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16.
Yep, they don't have to get it all on this play, and that's the good news for Danville.
Just looking for a chunk here. KJ takes the snap, rolls left, going deep. Looking for Carson, overthrows everybody. Double coverage out there, but trying to find a way to get Carson Persing an opportunity to make a play on the football.
They know that he is the guy that can hurt them. He double coverage.
And that'll be the case all the way out, I'm sure. Double coverage for sure.
You wonder if, you know, a guy that has gone silent in the second half that had a really great first half is Colton Sidler. You wonder if maybe they try to work him and get him over the middle, make one of those tough catches that he made, or maybe even those outs, those hitches that they got in the first quarter where they got some chunk yardage.
So here it is, Danville facing a third down and 26. Final opportunity to try and take the lead back once again. Penalty flags come out. Sealands Grove pointing at Danville, and just penalties here turning into the undoing for Ironmen. They had this drive started on their own 33, and now because of penalties, they are backed up inside the 15-yard line. It's going to be a third down and 31 coming up.
You know, we've been talking all game about, will the penalties of Sealands Grove be the undoing? I think what we're seeing here is penalties can really handicap you. And it's, you know, we still have another two plays to kind of see what's going to happen, but it's penalties that could be the undoing of Danville.
Well, the difference in this one right now, the last touchdown by Sealands Grove is a 54-yard touchdown run by Schoen. Danville looking for a big play of their own. Third and 31 from their own 12-yard line. Riley back to throw. Airs it out across the middle. Dangerous throw. Throws it up for grabs, and Sealands Grove has it. The interception, and that should do it as Nyland comes away with it at the Danville 40-yard line. And that time, Riley just went ahead and threw it up for grabs, and too many blue shirts in the area. Nyland gets the pick.
Yeah, he was going for Sidler, who has been kind of his safety blanket, at least in the first half, but just too many blue shirts.
So now just a matter of running out the clock, and the Seals will win on senior night. It's a 20-16 ball game. Danville only has one timeout, 1:10 to go. So the math just not going to work for Danville here. They can only stop the clock the one time. So Sealands Grove looks like they're going to move to 6-3 on the season. As for Danville, looks like it's going to be a 4-5 record here after tonight. But, you know, credit Danville really gave this quite an effort here tonight.
Yeah, this was an entertaining ball game. It was back and forth. I think when we heard that the Persing brothers were going to be out, at least for the first half, I think we thought this could get ugly. But Danville, I think, really battled. I think K.J. Riley, despite the three picks, he really battled. I thought Sidler and Dressler, both of those guys, even Smiley, made some really good plays. It's just unfortunate that they couldn't come up with the win here.
And the Danville defense played really well, except for those couple of big plays in the second half. really did a lot to limit, you know, Sealands Grove offensively. But again, the big run from Schoen, a 54-yarder, and wasn't his only score of the night. Had a big monster game here tonight.
Yeah, Schoen, and I think Almond too. He had a couple of big runs, but they could not stop the running of Schoen. He, you know, we covered Mifflinburg Danville with Mason Breed. Mm-hmm. I think Schoen might be a better running back, and that's no shot at Mason Breed. He was excellent. But Schoen is a rare combination of size and speed. He was fantastic tonight.
So Sealands Grove just needed the one knee, and they do that. And now the clock at 5 seconds. Nothing Danville can do other than line up and shake hands. And that's exactly what these two teams are doing as the clock hits zero. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll hear from winning football coach Derek Hicks of Sealands Grove as the Seals outlast the Ironmen 20-16 here on this Week 9 High School Football Game of the Week on WGRC.
This is Brad from Basin Coffee Roasting in Danville, and I am thrilled to support the WGRC radio ministry.
Basin Coffee serves the entire region by wholesaling roasted coffee to restaurants, coffee shops, and churches, offering community fundraisers and private label coffee for gifts, weddings, or resale at 570-764-2740, online at HebrewsTheBest.com from Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Underwriting WGRC Friday Night Football is Better Business Solutions of Danville, providing sales and service of personal computers and the software that makes them function, offering support for both the home and business user. Better Business Solutions, located on the web at wearebbs.com. Their telephone number is 570-275-5844.
Game of the Week right here on WGRC, and what an exciting one it was. And the Sealands Grove Seals come away a winner on senior night. Final score 20-16, a back and forth battle. It was Danville striking first, put the first points up, but then Sealands Grove answered. A lot of penalties by Sealands Grove tonight, but still some big plays. And here in the second half, it was really a tale of big plays back and forth. Danville was able to reassume the lead at 13-9, but then it was Sealands Grove able to score. And, you know, back and forth they went, but Sealands Grove with that final big touchdown run, a 54-yarder by Nate Schoen, gave them the lead. Danville, again, looked like they were maybe going to drive once again with a big play from K.J. Riley, able to find Dressler deep down the field, but just not enough big plays left for Danville to try and get one more score in there.
Yeah, I think Sealands Grove has to feel just really good about this game. You know, they did not play their best. I think we counted 16 penalties. They were just uncharacteristically sloppy and undisciplined at times. And yet, when it really came down to it, they made big plays. Nate Schoen had 3 touchdowns today. That brings them up to 10 for the season. And I think that's a huge confidence booster for them going into the game against Loyal Sock next week. They did not play their best, and yet they still got a big win. They now have 4 straight wins, and they have a shot to really make some real noise in the playoffs.
That's right. You mentioned about how you want to be playing your best football and being tested, and both these teams, you know, gave each other a test here tonight. And next week, they each have a big, tall order coming up for Danville. They'll be on the road at Southern Columbia, and so it's very likely Danville could be sitting maybe in that 8 seed, the very bottom spot in AAA, still in the playoff picture, but it's a likely scenario for them. As for Sealands Grove, they do have the game at Montoursville coming up for the final one, but right now, if Jersey Shore were to stumble, Sealands Grove, they can come up with a win next week. You know, could possibly still grab a top spot in Quad A, otherwise still a home game with a 2 seed. So we'll see how that all plays out. A lot of things, you know, to be determined yet when it comes to the playoff picture, especially in AAA, from 1-8, except for Montoursville sitting there at the lone undefeated, 2 right on through. It's, you know, not a lot, maybe a game or 2 separating everybody. So we'll see how that all sifts out here in just a moment. And in just a moment, we're going to be hearing from head football coach Derek Hicks of the Sealands Grove Seals as Chris Miller is on the field. I want to thank the guys for joining me on the broadcast, of course, tonight, Chris and Zach as well. and running the controls tonight back at the studio, Joe Miller. So we do have a moment here, Coach Derek Hicks of the Sealants Grove Seals connecting with Chris Miller.
All right, so we have Coach Hicks here. You get out of here with the win tonight. Obviously, I'm sure there was some things that you wish would have went better, but obviously you stepped up when it mattered most. Your defense, again, really big tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to look at the film, and I don't know how many yards we took off the board with penalties on special teams and on offense with some shifts, some holds. And, sometimes you play a sloppy game and you get lucky. And I'll tell you, that's where we're at tonight. You know, we came away with a win. Danville battled. And like you said, though, the defense made plays. Offense, when we needed a score, you know, Schoen broke a big run. And then the defense kind of shut it down from there.
Yeah, I tell you what, Schoen and Ahmed, I mean, what a compliment back there in the backfield. I mean, they're just able to grind out the yards, and you're able to ride down through the field quite a ways on them. You know, Shock, great leader there, also at quarterback. So, you know, as you look forward to Montoursville, I don't know if you heard, they lost tonight to Southern. They were shut out. So, obviously, they're going to be coming in. They're going to want to kind of step up their game and rebound. What do you look forward to build on to try to get back to Sealants Grove football as you know it?
You know, for us, first of all, you don't want to see an angry Montoursville team. But for us, the biggest thing is we've got to correct the mistakes. And I told the guys, we had a ton of mistakes tonight. And the beauty of it is we still got to win, which means we're going to learn this. We're going to fix those things. And at the end of the day, you still got the win on the record and you learn from it.
Coach, you know, I think as you leave here tonight, you hit the nail on the head. You know, you make some mistakes, but it says a lot about your team that they're able to rally through those mistakes and still pull out the win. You still have a lot of football left, so we wish you well. Sealants Grove has always improved throughout the year. Really impressed by the performance tonight. We wish you well next week.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
All right, and that is Chris Miller again with a happy Coach Derek Hicks, again, knowing he's got to address those penalties with his team. You don't want to be doing that as you head into the postseason, but still glad for sure his team is now 6-3. Let's take another break. We'll be back with some closing thoughts here as our postgame continues. The high school football game of the week, week 9 in the books. The final score, Sealants Grove 20, Danville 16, right here on WGRC. Back with more.
Serving the residential and commercial construction needs of Pennsylvania's heartland is CR Builders & Sons of Northumberland, providing single room and full structural remodeling, as well as repairs and handyman services. Projects include custom homes, additions, decks, and patios. The telephone number is 570-551-6711 or on Facebook at CR Builders & Sons LLC, a proud supporter of programming on WGRC.
High school football action on WGRC. A great night here, and our final score, Sealants Grove, a winner on senior night. And I guess this game, of course, looked to be one of the tightest ones throughout the region, so a lot of entertainment here for the fans at Sealants Grove. They're glad to get the win, and Danville, of course, you know, while they dropped to 4-5 and they're looking at Southern Columbia next week, definitely, I'm sure there's a lot of things they can look at and be glad for the effort, glad for some of the things, just didn't get the result that Danville was looking for.
Yeah, and I think it was, I mean, there's a morale booster too. I think, you know, Carson Persing was out in the first half, but he gets to come back and he plays, and I thought he played really well, had three catches, including that touchdown catch. And again, I think Brian Raup said this in the interview, they have a young team. You know, KJ Riley is a junior. The Persing brothers are going to be back. A lot of young guys. There's a defender, and I'm forgetting his name, Mason Raup, who's a freshman.
Tackle machine.
He was fantastic. And so there's a lot of pieces on this Danville team, and they've got a lot of speed. But, you know, I think they get another year next year. I think they're going to be a real tough out. But it just wasn't in the cards for them tonight.
Well, and again, Chris, thanks for getting down there and getting the interview with Coach Derek Hicks. I know he was glad for the result, definitely going to address the penalties and things like that. But his team definitely on a good roll, winners of four straight here with one to go in the regular season.
Yeah, you know, just down there before we got a chance to talk to him, just listening to what he was addressing to his team, He said, listen, I know we made mistakes. Every team has a game like that. We got out of our system. We're going to watch film. We're going to learn from it, and we're going to move on. Very telling what, you know, when he said about an angry Montoursville team, because you know that's exactly what they're going to be. They're going to be very disappointed in their performance. So it's going to set up a really good matchup up at Montoursville with this whole cluster of games where everybody is separated by a game or two. It's going to be really interesting to see how the seedings shake out after next week. Seals Grove, I think Coach was right. They're going to get this out of their system. They're going to get back to playing Seals football. And we'll see how far they go here in the playoffs.
All right, well, definitely an entertaining one. And as Chris alluded to earlier, Montoursville was shut out by Southern Columbia. Final score of that one, 35-0. So I guess it sounds odd to say out of a 35-0 game, very few teams have held Southern Columbia to just 35 points, but nonetheless, another dominant performance from the Southern Columbia Tigers. But still, Montoursville very much in control of that top spot in the Triple A standings. Well, here tonight, it's the Sealands Grove Seals in the win column, an exciting one on senior night as the Seals defeat the Danville Ironmen 20-16. Sealands Grove moving to 6-3 overall, and Danville will drop to 4-5. Well, we want to thank you for joining us for Friday Night Football. Do want to let you know, coming up next week, our final regular season game. It should be another good one with some playoff implications. Guys, we're going to have Lewisburg at Mifflinburg. Should be a lot of fun to close out the regular season with that one for sure.
I tell you what, having played for Mifflinburg and living in Lewisburg currently, the two teams despise each other. I remember when I was a senior, you would get letters that were supposedly written from the other team that trash talk. It's a rivalry, and they can't stand each other. So no matter what happens, they're going to come lay the wood, and it's going to be personal. It's going to be a bragging rights for Union County.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out next week. That sounds like a very very hostile picture there that Chris has just painted for us, Zach. I'm a little nervous about next week's game now.
I feel like I need to get used to this because my son plays for the Lewisburg Green Dragons, but as a five-year-old on their flag football team.
No, give it to varsity. It'll get a lot
to varsity, okay.
Well, we'll see how it plays out next week again. That'll be our final regular season game. It will be a week 10 next week. Lewisburg at Mifflinburg. Well, thanks again for joining us tonight. For Joe Miller, who produced tonight, for Zach and for Chris joining me in the booth, I'm Don Castelline. Final score, Sealands Grove 20, Danville 16. Keep it tuned right here to WGRC. A lot of great encouraging music coming your way all weekend long. Have a great night. Thanks for joining us.
Agent Jeff Connor and the staff at the Allstate Insurance Company in Lewisburg are sponsoring WGRC, featuring 24-hour customer service and online policy access, providing a wide range of Allstate Insurance products. They also offer investment advising and financial management services. Jeff Connor's Allstate Insurance office at 1524 West Market Street in Lewisburg at 570-523-9500 and at agents.allstate.com.
You've been listening to regional high school football action on WGRC. Brought to you by the generous donations of the following grant underwriters.
Colts Transmissions, Marks McLaughlin and Dennehy, Melcott Radiator, Millville HPS, Pine Barn Inn, Pondus Farms, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Steininger's Laundry, Vreeland's Harley Davidson, Basin Coffee Roasting, Better Business Solutions, CR Builders and Sons, Verizon Federal Credit Union, Jeff Connor and Associates Insurance, J.R. Judd Violins.
Join us again next time for our broadcast of exciting regional high school football action on WGRC.